Tom Brady, thankfully, as his business was struggling, was granted a PPP loan of $1 million to help keep TB12 afloat. So thanks, Uncle Sam. God bless America. The people who need the money the most are definitely getting it. What would we do without TB12 hats?
I just ordered the Tom Brady instructional video for how to kiss your son on the lips. Even though I don't have a son, I still want it. I still want to know, just in case, one day.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, they hand-deliver the check to him, and he just kisses the guy on the mouth for 12 seconds? Thank you. I really appreciate 12. You. This is weird. That was oddly not sexual, but very strange.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
It's 2 minutes after 6 at DVE. Here's the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center for
Carbon Severe Weather Center 11.
It's 59 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. Despite a surge in COVID-19 cases, there are no plans to change Pennsylvania's response to the virus. State Health Department Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine said they are looking at the increase very seriously, but at this point aren't going to move affected communities back to the first reopening phases. Levine says right now it is important that everyone continue to wear face masks in public and practice social distancing. Financial rental assistance is now available for eligible residents of Pittsburgh and Allegheny County. The funding comes from the CARES Act and the city's housing stabilization program. Tenants can apply for up to 6 months of rental assistance until the end of the year. A number of child advocates say all family detention of illegal immigrants should end during the pandemic. A California judge last month ordered Immigration and Customs Enforcement to release all detained children, but lawyers with the Justice Department wrote that ICE won't release parents. A spokesman for the group of children at risk says being separated from their families will harm those kids. The family detention centers where illegals are held have been hit hard by the virus. The deadline to release the children is Friday of this week. A COVID-19 vaccine could start production by the end of the summer. The goal is to distribute 300 million doses by the start of next year. The top Trump administration official said vaccines are already being produced, but it is unclear how effective they actually are. The company that owns New York and Company and other retail stores is filing bankruptcy because of the pandemic. RTW Tailwinds announced Monday it filed for Chapter 11 protection and plans to close most or all of its stores permanently. The company says more than 90% of its 378 stores in 32 states are open and conducting liquidation sales. The company is the latest clothing retailer filing bankruptcy because of the pandemic, joining well-known brands including Neiman Marcus, J. Crew, Brooks Brothers, and JCPenney. A former Defense Department staffer says world leaders need to investigate UFOs to learn whether they are a threat. Luis Elizondo worked on the Office of Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence before leaving the agency nearly 3 years ago. He's now a director at a private agency pursuing evidence of unidentified flying objects. Elizondo says evaluating potential threats posed by UFOs should involve the collaboration of leaders around the world. He said it's impossible to say for sure that UFOs are harmless and that interest extends far beyond the U.S. Well, move over, tea. There's a new way to drink like British royalty. Buckingham Palace has launched its very own gin. And many of the ingredients come from Queen Elizabeth's garden, like hawthorn berries and bay leaves. The bottles cost $50. They're being sold to raise money for the conservation of the royal art collection. It will also be offered to guests at official palace events. Speaking of boozing, nothing says summer like spending an afternoon eating and drinking. It's, you know, the season of day drinking, a lot of vacations, so you start a little early. Unfortunately, sucking on some hard seltzers while poolside might feel good at 1 o'clock, but by dinner, you're hungover already. Some experts offer tips to avoid day drinking hangovers. They include avoid sugary cocktails. They say that's a clear recipe for a bad headache.
Everybody knows that.
Drink a lot of water between your drinks. That's Randy, you've always done that.
I've been a big proponent of that. When you can throw down a drink of water, like
I would, when I'm like doing an all day New Orleans kind of bender thing, I always order a glass of water with no ice with my drink, and then I just chug that. And then it slows down my drinking considerably.
I was going to ask you, how do you not pee the entire time you're there? Because for me, like when I drink, if I break the seal, I'm just peeing almost. I don't know if it's because I have the bladder of a baby chipmunk or what my problem is, but if I drank a water in between every beer or drink I had, I'd be in the bathroom all day.
I typically do it when I'm drinking vodka sodas all day, because I can't drink beer all day because it just fills you up. But I don't know. I think because you get dehydrated, the water just kind of sits there. I don't know. Your body uses it.
You know? I guess in the heat. In the summer.
That too.
Yeah.
Stick with light rum, vodka, or gin. Clear alcohols have fewer of the byproducts of fermentation, and that can cause a worse hangover. Now, this seems like a no-brainer. Drink in the shade. Too much time in the sun can dehydrate you and make hangovers even worse. And, of course, as in everything, moderation is a good idea. It's easy to drink more when it's hot and you're thirsty and you're having a good time. But like we said earlier, make sure you drink water. And don't drink too much in the middle of the day. Try to spread it out. Don't be hammered by two.
Steve Byrne has single-handedly ruined Jameson whiskey for me. Like, if I even think about a dark or a brown liquor, I want to throw up. I don't want it anywhere near me. If I even smell it, I will, no. Nope.
Yeah, it was my go-to for a long time. I just don't do it anymore. I can't handle my stomach. I get, like, acid reflux from drinking whiskey too much, so I just stay away from it. But I used to love Jameson.
How about I was at a party for the 4th of July at my sister's friend's house, and her dad was there, and he came down with a copper mug, and I was like, oh, you got a Moscow Mule? And he's like, this is straight vodka. And I was like, all right, turning it up for the day. Sounds good. And he was like, well, I wanted to make a Moscow Mule, and he asked his son-in-law, hey, do you have any ginger beer? And he's like, no, I don't. And I said, well, hey, I brought some LaCroix over. If you want to throw some of that in there, it's a pretty good mixer. And he was like, you must be a Joe Biden guy. And I was like, is that what gave it away? I was like, that's a weird way to get into a political argument, but let's do it.
Oh, my. Sure. That's funny.
I'm on that guy's side.
I was trying to offer
pegged you
him
as the
nice
Joe Biden
mixer.
Voter.
Look, here's the thing. LaCroix is a thoughtful thing to bring over to somebody's house who has somebody who maybe doesn't drink. Because you got to drink like a fancy little water if you don't drink. You know what I mean? Water gets boring. You want a little spice in it. Something.
Yeah, I think you have to train your palate to be okay with water not being boring.
I mean, try not drinking forever. And then
it's a good way
come
to do
and
it.
Talk to me.
Makes it more clear why you like White Claw.
White Claw, Willie.
I'm full in on White Claw now. I was like, you know what? If everybody's going to... I am whatever you say I am. Why not just buy some? I bought a 12-pack. They're delicious. And I'm happy to be White Claw Willie now. Happy to be.
All in.
All in.
It never was derogatory. It was just descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
Bon Jovi is releasing a new song and video inspired by the George Floyd protests across America. The track is called American Reckoning. He said, quote, I was moved to write American Reckoning as a witness to history. I believe the greatest gift of an artist is the ability to use their voice to speak to the issues that move us, end quote. Proceeds from the downloads of American Reckoning through the end of the year will support the Bryan Stevenson Equal Justice Initiative. That track has also been added to the band's forthcoming album, Bon Jovi 2020. Actress Lori Loughlin and her fashion designer husband Massimo Giannulli are selling their California home for less than the asking price, considerably less. The couple originally listed their Bel Air mansion for more than $28 million in January. After months of no bidders, they ended up selling their 12,000-square-foot home to Tinder co-founder Justin Mateen for $18 million. But don't feel too bad for them. They bought it in 2015 for $14 million, so they're still making some money off of it. The pair have pled guilty to taking part in the college admissions cheating scandal. Finally, the son of Playboy founder Hugh Hefner is launching an exploratory campaign for a California Senate seat. Cooper Hefner took to Twitter to announce his run for California's 30th district, which includes Los Angeles County. Of course, that's where the Playboy Mansion is located. He grew up there. The 28-year-old Democrat told CNN he has wanted to get involved in politics for some time and plans on addressing the climate crisis and police reform if elected. He said the time is now for new individuals to step forward with new ideas, and he wouldn't be doing so if he didn't think he could win and make a difference. Very nice summer day today. Sunny mid-80s for the high. We're at 59 at DVE.
Yeah, it's the DVE Morning Show. Dan Potash going to join us to talk a little bit about the Penguins kicking off their practice sessions in the Phase 3 of the NHL's reopening. And Jake Guentzel looking pretty good on the ice yesterday. So we'll talk with Dan about the return of Sid and the boys to the ice. Doug Benson from Doug Loves Movies talks about Palm Springs, the latest Lonely Island movie out on Hulu, which I saw and I loved. I thought it was great. Basically, the Doug Loves Movies segment we do with Doug. Whatever Doug watches on the weekend, we talk about. It's a very informal, hey, Doug, what did you watch? And then, you know, he's usually just baked and just kind of rambling about stuff that he likes, and he's super funny. And that'll be on a little later on as well. Billy Gardell returns to the show around 9 o'clock. So excited for that. Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song, gets things going. Here you go.
Dude, I got so hammered in New York on New Year's Eve. And we were talking about them off the air. These guys from Impractical Jokers on True TV.
Yeah, those guys are really funny.
They're lunatics in real life. Like, legitimate, like, lunatics. We get drunk, and at, like, I don't know, 3:30 in the morning, I'm in a New York City 7-Eleven, and at the register, not at my room, at the register, I consume 2 Mountain Dews, 3 microwave burritos, and 2 erection pills. If you ever meet him, ask him if it happened. It's on a dare, but that's the type of stuff they do. They dare. The whole show is just them daring each other to do crazy stuff. So in real life, that's what they do. And they go, I bet you won't take an erection pill. I bet you I will. So I crumble it up and I sprinkle it in the burrito. Because you don't
that's
take
the way you took it?
You don't take it on an empty stomach. Come on, man. I've never taken one before.
You don't poison yourself with it either.
How you just blend the two? It's like blue cheese crumbles, and you just sprinkle it on. And I eat this thing, and they go home. And I'm like, we were supposed to go to the strip club. And they're like, nah, man, we got to shoot in the morning. We're in production.
They gave you boner pills before you were supposed to go to the strip club.
And then ditch the strip club from the itinerary. And so now I'm in a cab riding back to the hotel because I've never taken a boner pill. So I don't know if it's like a gradual, like does it start working gradually or does it just Incredible Hulk just.
I'm very angry.
You know in The Simpsons with Groundskeeper Willie and the muscles just come out? Like, is that going to happen in the cab and scare the cab driver? And he goes off in a ditch and we drown in the Chicago River, drown in the Hudson, because this jumped out of my pants. What is that? Oh, my gosh! Straight off the Brooklyn Bridge to my death. And the paranoia of being drunk doubled with the paranoia of taking something strange and not knowing the effects it was going to have on my body and its effects if taken with alcohol. You never hear that with wine. They go, oh, don't take it with alcohol. But when they say that, they're talking about hard liquor. They don't take this with
scotch.
Yeah, scotch. But wine is usually you can skate by. And I figure it's I think now wine would probably be a safer drunk for me because I won't be sitting in a cab thinking, oh God, this is how I'm going to die. Because when you think about all the ways you could die, erection pill overdose should be pretty low on the, like, because if you die wrong, it cancels everything good. And I've done a lot of good in my life. Mm-hmm. I promise you I have. I worked radio for you guys, yeah. Changed lives in this city. So you know what it's like to be mm-hmm. able to go out in the community and do good mm-hmm. things. I promise you, Bill Crawford, if you died from eating two boner burritos. First paragraph of your eulogy. It's right there. Right. Loving father, drinking enthusiast. William Crawford, here he lies. We're here to celebrate the life. And then they have to, like, you can't even close the casket because it still rocked. That's the worst part of dying from an erection pill overdose is that you have to be buried sideways. So, buried at an angle.
Hopefully not next to a relative.
You're spooning with the casket next to you. That's horrible. You're a horrible person. So, yeah, wine from now on. Because whiskey has you paranoid in the cab thinking that your mom is going to have to take that call from the medical examiner.
I still am trying to get over how funny it is that they wanted you to take boner pills and go to a strip club.
Right. I mean, talking that's about good. Walking into a place with a loaded weapon.
They totally, somebody got a text or something. They go, yeah, we can't go. Sorry. And I go, dude, just what about the team?
100 by Dell.
DVE Sports.
Pursuit on vacation. Tim Benz filling in with your sports this morning on DVE. What's up, Benzie?
Well, let's start things off with hockey as the Penguins began their rebooted training camp up in Cranberry yesterday. The hope is to start the season in Toronto versus the Canadiens on August the 1st. But the organization did so under some ominous circumstances as 9 players were kept off the ice due to concerns over secondary contact with the coronavirus. They're not saying if any positive tests occurred per se, but just trying to sequester the players so if they were exposed and they did catch it, they don't want to start an early outbreak to this whole process on day one. The players appear to have been Patrick Hornquist, Juuso Riikola, goalie Casey DeSmith, and 6 other young reserves. Head coach Mike Sullivan says the move was done under an abundance of caution so as to make sure teams didn't start an early spread.
The news we got and a decision that was made, to quarantine the players out of caution, it's just going to be part of this process. And so we've talked about a lot of it as a staff and that potential scenarios that could arise and how we would handle them and how we would react to them. And so it's just one of those things that we've got to be ready to adjust and adapt. And that's what we did out there today. And as I said, I thought we had a real productive first day.
I've come quickly to the realization that sports in the COVID-19 era, game to game, practice to practice, are going to mirror what we're used to in our beer league softball games. Hey, we got Joe tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We got Phil tonight. Brian coming today. Like, you just pull up in the parking lot, and who's there is there, and who's not there is who's gone for the next
week. Well, and in the case of baseball, too, Tim, it's they pull up to the stadium and get dressed in their car. So very much like a beer league.
Right, exactly. And you're click clacking all the way through the hallways down to the locker room in your cleats.
Exactly.
Exactly. Team president David Morehouse on with Mark Madden on 105.9 The X yesterday, talking about how this extended season will bleed into next year. He says the league is targeting a return of December 1st or January 1st, somewhere in the month of December for 2020 or right into January of 2021 to get the next season going.
The fact that we're not even contemplating starting next season until December and maybe even January means we're giving it more time for either a vaccine or a medicine that's developed that makes it less deadly or less contagious. So I think having that extra time into December and also into the beginning of next year gives us an advantage. And, you know, we will not open our doors until we can ensure that our fans will be safe. And we're looking at different ways to make the building safe as far as retrofitting.
Do you think David Morehouse, once the doors opened at PPG Paints Arena back in 2011, would have been saying to himself, yeah, we're probably going to retrofit this sucker in 9 years? I mean,
definitely not in the plan.
It is sort of a reality check when you hear words like that, but that's probably what has to happen, at least in the short term. But then again, like he said, hopefully there's some sort of vaccination or medicine, at least by then, to make the ominous fears of catching this, if you do have it, be treated more like a regular illness, as opposed to you got to go lock yourself away for 14 days at the bare minimum, and you might get really, really sick in an absolute worst-case scenario. Pirates had another simulated game at PNC Park yesterday. Manager Derek Shelton said it was a strong start for Joe Musgrove. Josh Bell hammered a home run along the way. So did Jerod Dyson. Speaking of power, can left fielder Brian Reynolds hit homers at a faster pace this year in a shortened season?
Do what I can do, and if I hit homers, I hit homers. If I hit doubles, I hit doubles. It'll all come. I'm not worried about one way or the other.
And I wrote that for the Trib yesterday, guys, for as pitching sparse as this club might be, I do think they can hit with some of the other teams that they'll be facing on their schedule. They might be able to hit their way to relevance or at least close to .500, keep themselves in it. But the pitching is where it really, really is going to get dicey for them this year.
And in the past, that script was flipped.
Right, yeah. That's what we thought coming into last year. There was a flip script where the pitching was strong the season before. Then the pitching fell apart last year. Taillon got hurt again. That certainly hurt matters. Archer never became what they thought he was going to be, and the hitting came along, and Josh Bell was a monster for about 6 weeks to 2 months. They needed that again this year. They need Reynolds to be what he was, Newman to be what he was a season ago. NFL news, the Redskins are changing their name officially. They are dropping the name Redskins, and BetOnline AG has the odds for some new nicknames. Would you like to hear what they are?
Yes.
Yes,
Red Tails
please.
At 3-1. That is the favorite. That's the
Red
one that's
Tails.
That's the one that's well, that, associated that, with the Tuskegee. Yeah, the Tuskegee Airmen. Was that where you were going, Randy?
Yeah, that satisfies Ron Rivera's want to have a military tie-in, and you know, also the red aspect of it, which can keep the color scheme consistent.
Right, and also honor those who are African-Americans in the service as well. So that's a more appropriate tie-in given the reason why they made the name change in the first place. The next two I'm not so wild about. The Generals at 4-1 and the Warriors at 4-1. Warriors just feels like a best way possible to keep the Redskins tie to me. And Generals, that's the team that just loses to the Harlem Globetrotters every time they play.
Well, easy solution there, Tim. Don't schedule the Globetrotters.
Let's hope the Globetrotters are in the AFC. The Presidents, the Red Wolves, they're at 5-1 and 6-1. The Lincolns and the Monuments at 7-1 and 8-1.
Oh, my God.
All they're doing is spray painting and tearing down, including the Lincoln Monument, by the way, the Lincoln Memorial. They're getting torn down everywhere you look. I don't think that's the way to go for a nickname. Now, my favorite
the Lincoln
the
Memorial's
Hawks.
Been torn down.
Well, no, they got spray painted. It got
did
spray
it really?
First, yeah, right outside. It didn't get all the way to Lincoln, but on the outside, as you walk up the steps to it, the first day of the protests, it got spray painted out front.
Oh, okay.
My favorite would be the Hogs.
I mean, great,
really
legacy
really
name for sure. The image of those. That era of the Washington Redskins, that you know, the Fun Bunch would be another one you, I guess, you could do. Remember that? That was their celebration team.
Yeah, it was the Art Fun Monk Bunch. And Charlie Brown, and I try to remember who the other guys were in the wide receiving core at the time. But yeah, they used to do that big. It's funny because back then, group celebrations were looked upon as being a lot of fun. Then we went through that era of the NFL where they're absolutely foreboding, and now they're back again. But the Fun Bunch was always the group that they pointed to, players pointed to say, hey, look, you used to allow this and we used to wallow in it. Now you've made it taboo. Bring it back. And that was probably a smart move to a degree. That's where we get duck, duck, goose and group bowling and home runs and all that now. Basically, the origins were the Fun Bunch. But think of the marketing opportunities for Hogs. I mean, if Daniel Snyder wants Mark, well, there's some double entendre issues that might be going on there for Hogs.
That's where I went.
Like, you could see Jason Witten calling a game and saying, boy, the Cowboys have jumped on the Hogs early here, you know, and then who knows where it goes from there. But
you got to ride the Hogs.
I do think the marketing opportunities are great. And if you're trying to keep the traditionalists happy, there you go. A couple of the offensive linemen, like John Jansen, wasn't exactly in the Hogs era. He was a little bit later. He was an offensive lineman later for the Redskins, but he signed off on that one yesterday. And I don't know. That's kind of been a distant outlier when it comes to the gambling odds, but that's where I would put my money for a rename.
Yeah, I like that one. I like monuments too, though. I do. Washington monuments. I think that's actually, it just sounds funny.
I mean, and easy to be their mascot, right? You don't have to do anything. Just stand there.
A big obelisk.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as soon as you said that, the first one that came to my mind was the Washington Monument as well. And it's sort of like, I just have this image in my mind's eye of a burgundy and gold Washington Monument, kind of like the floppy arms at a car dealer that you see on McKnight Road in the middle of the summertime.
I like it.
Steely McBeam saying, hey guys, welcome the new guy to the club.
He put him over his shoulder like the beam.
Get over here. Come here, you.
And by the way, one NBA player of note is tested positive for coronavirus. That is Russell Westbrook. So that's already an issue in the bubble. Did you guys see the Instagram model that got invited to the bubble already? Did you see that story making the rounds yesterday?
Dubious. I mean, she's in California. I don't know if anybody was. I don't know how serious that was. Was that maybe just to throw a line in the water? It wasn't even baited.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't a baited hook, I still think somebody was going to nibble. She looked like quite the bubble buster to me. So,
well, she's going to have to go 5,000 miles to do it. I mean,
she
I don't know.
She had some veteran bubble busting experience, I think, based on her profile from what I was able to glean.
Well, I know some people have been – one guy got busted for going outside the bubble to get food because the food is so bad there.
Which is
I thought it was good. I thought Enes Kanter had said it was good, the Celtics player. He gave it a thumbs up. Is it getting bad reviews now elsewhere?
Yeah, I think it depends on where you are.
Oh, which
some resorts are better than the other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like some people are staying in Coronado, and I stayed there a couple of years ago for a function, and it's not that nice. Like it was kind of a rundown hotel.
It's kind of funny. You know where you stand in the NBA based on what resort you're on. If you're on one of the value resorts towards the airport, then, you know, you get a grilled cheese. But if you're up in the Grand Floridian or something, then it's like LeBron and, you know, it's the teams that they expect to be winning the whole thing.
Tim Benz filling in for Mike Pursuta with your sports this morning. Thanks, Tim.
Yep.
Val's got your news top of the hour. Valerie, what's going on?
We're going to talk about the top 10 ways we have embarrassed ourselves in or on Zoom calls during the pandemic working at home.
Dan Potash talking Penguins later this morning. Doug Loves Movies podcast host Doug Benson joining us and Billy Gardell returning 9 a.m. this morning on Deep. Randy Bauman along with Val Porter, Bill Crawford. Trying times for a lot of communities right now. No doubt about it. It's tough no matter where you're going. So in Tenino, Washington State, they have decided to bring back an old technique to get through the tough times. They are printing their own currency. Wooden bills are back in Tenino, Washington. And what I mean by back is they did this in the wake of the Great Depression in 1931 for 2 years. All right. There's only 2,000 people in this town. But back then, they'd use the printing press from the newspaper to create wooden bills. And it helped spur the economy during the Great Depression in that small town. It was only redeemable within the town and, you know, small businesses around that downtown area there. And so they all kind of, it was almost like a barter system, but it was backed up by the Chamber of Commerce back then. So you could get up to 25% of your assets in a local bank that had failed in wooden bills. So on the bills, it's the Latin phrase habeas autem sub potestate.
We have it under control in Latin. So they cranked up the very same printing press from 90 years ago and started printing $25 wooden bills that bear the town's name, Tenino, with the words COVID relief superimposed on the image of a bat in that aforementioned Latin phrase. And it's pretty interesting because you can't spend it anywhere else. It can only be spent in their town. You can't use it in any national stores. It's only participating stores. But it's a local currency, and it's helping them bridge the gap as everybody is struggling in the wake of what's happening with COVID. Now, it's, again, not something that every town can do. This is a town of 2,000 people. There's a history there. They get it. They were all for it once again. You can't buy alcohol, weed, because weed's legal in Washington State, or anything like, you know, nefarious, tobacco, stuff like that. But
lottery tickets. Else,
yeah, right. Yeah, you can't get lottery tickets either. But in Tenino, that's what they're doing. They are using wooden bills. And I thought if we used them here, we had like Yinzer bucks, and maybe we could put Rick Seaback on the front of them, you know, because he seems kind of
perfect.
Yeah, or even better, Gene Collier, because he looks like he's on money already. You know, he's got like a Martin Van Buren kind of look to him or something.
But wouldn't the danger be if you had Rick Seabucks, then it would be like money for things that aren't here anymore? Like you had free admission to Forbes Field, or you could ride the Dips roller coaster at Westview Park all day.
No. That might be a problem. It's a good point.
You think we have this under control? No. I love how they have the, yeah, we got this under control. That's why we're using wooden bills in a language from the beginning.
Dead language and wooden bills. They look like credit cards.
Yeah, they do.
You know, made out of wood. And you have to spend, when you use one, you can only get 99 cents back. You can't exchange them for cash. But and they're saying,
if you try to get alcohol, tobacco, or lottery tickets, you could just have the alarm ring off that, slow the hell down! Slow the hell down! Nope. F it. No.
Uh-huh. Look, man. $10,000 in local script has been printed up. So that's what they're doing right now. And it's helping people downtown. So
smart. Hey,
more power to them. Bringing it back. I'm not sure that we would be able to do it here at Pittsburgh. Not 100% sure. But if we did, I know it would be black and gold.
Oh, yeah. Call it Rooney's instead of Loonies. Just like, I like that. You get some Rooney's. They got enough money to back it. Come on.
Hey, you kidding me? Rooney's can back it all up. Tenino, Washington. I'd never heard of that town, but it's interesting. They are paying for coffee and going to local restaurants, and they are shelling out wooden bills, which I thought wooden was like an actual phrase. Like, I didn't think it was actually wooden for some reason. It was in my brain that like wooden nickels and things like that just meant fake.
Mm-hmm. Right. Me too. It's like, all right, if you got a bunch of wooden bills, that's good, except if there's a fire and then everybody's broke. That's kindling.
That's a good point, too. Although bills are flammable, so I don't know. Don't look for that to happen anytime soon anywhere else. But in Tenino, they're doing that to make ends meet. Who knows? Maybe we'll figure out something here. Maybe we won't need to. Maybe relief is coming, Val. Maybe there's a cure right around the corner and a vaccine is ready to go.
They say by the end of summer we'll have a vaccine, but they don't know how effective it is.
So then it's not really a vaccine.
I put these brakes on your car. I'm not sure they work.
Don't know if
every
they
time
work.
I hear,
want to try them?
Pharmaceutical companies talking about stuff like that, I always think of the Kids in the Hall movie Brain Candy, where they're trying to come up with like the ultimate depression drug, and they have this board meeting in a pharmaceutical
board of directors, and they're like, the latest tests on the drug are very promising, sir, and it looks like we should have positive results by the end of the year. And the CEO, who was modeled after Lorne Michaels, goes, well, that's great, as long as there's no flipper babies. And everyone laughs. And then the researcher, after all the laughter dies down, goes, well, there were some flipper babies. Which is like the lobster guy that was born in Pittsburgh. Remember that back in the day? I think they've cured this, but there was like a genetic deformity where the guy was born with lobster claws instead of hands.
Wasn't it because of some prescription drug or something, or some chemical
You're right. That's exactly what it was. Grady Franklin Stiles was Lobster Boy, born in Pittsburgh, by the way.
Lobster Boy.
That's it. Yes.
It was a sedative drug.
There you go. So anyway,
so there you go.
All right.
You know, if I was younger, I might consider volunteering for the study. If I was in my 20s, I might do it.
You're braver than me.
Yeah. I signed up for the
test to see if you have antibodies, but I guess I didn't get chosen.
You signed up to get tested, or you got
tested?
Pitt
was involved with the National Institutes of Health and two or three other universities, and they were just sampling random people for blood tests to see if they had the antibodies to know if you've had it and didn't know it.
Okay.
And I signed up for it and answered all the questions, but I guess I didn't get picked.
What did Lobster Boy end up doing? I mean, you got to go join the circus, right? I mean, or just be an entertainer at the fair.
He was one of the most successful freak show attractions for a long time. And then he kind of lost his mind and murdered a few people. He killed his daughter's fiance the night before their wedding.
You know, that all could have been prevented if they just would have put rubber bands around his hands.
Really simple. Great. We're going to be canceled by the lobster lobby now. Way to go, Bill. Val's got your news next.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all the ways we've embarrassed ourselves on Zoom. Have you guys done it yet? Bill did.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he wasn't.
It was off air. No, but.
Okay. Zoom atrocities. We'll also later on this morning, Billy Gardell will be joining us live on the show. Doug Loves Movies podcast host Doug Benson. Dan Potash talking Penguins. Tim Benz has your sports. That's all on the way for you here on DVE.
Pittsburgh.
It appears the outside of Queen Elizabeth's UK vacation estate has become a public bathroom. Complaints from the staff at Balmoral Castle say they have come into an abundance of wet wipes being discarded around the outside of the castle. A statement from employees does say, while there are no public toilets open for miles, the staff reminds the public if one needs to do their business to please do so at specific areas away from the pathways and monuments. And they say most public restrooms have been closed in the country due to the COVID-19 lockdown.
You look at that whole family, the whole royal family. Wet wipes is a good way to describe them all. There's just a bunch of wet wipes.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
I have to get back to the Lobster Boy for just a second. And for those, because there's a lot of people who don't know about this. So when I was telling you the story about Grady Stiles Jr., the freak show performer whose deformity, electrodactyly, I think that's how you say it, dactyly. Anyways, he had lobster-like, claw-like extremities because of a drug that was being prescribed to his mother back in the day. And he was a freak show performer, and he's from Pittsburgh, and then living in Pittsburgh in 1978, he was apparently a bad alcoholic. He got around by using, his arms and leg, so he had wicked upper body strength. He had wicked upper body strength.
So 1978, this is not in the 30s. This is 1978. He shot and killed his oldest daughter's fiance on the eve of their wedding. He was brought to trial. He confessed to killing the man, third degree murder. He was not sent to prison because no state institution could care for somebody with electrodactyly. I guess because the handcuffs just kept going over the claws. Yeah. Like you can't. But even more impressive, Bill, he shot and killed the guy. He did not nip him to death. That's the
right,
more
you would
impressive
have thought
thing.
It would have been of a bite or a laceration. Yeah. Stab the guy.
Something like that. Or maybe like food poisoning, you know? But
sure.
or anaphylactic shock. Maybe he's allergic to shellfish. But he was killed himself by his wife and son, who hired a freak show hitman to murder him in 1992.
He got murdered by the bearded lady.
Somebody named Chris Wyant. They paid him $1,500, which in freak show money is like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Yeah. And so they,
you know how many trailers I could buy with this?
Now, his son says that's not how it happened. He said the neighbor killed him because he was just sick and tired of hearing him fight with his family and everything. And he walked in to the house or trailer or whatever and shot him. He was so hated by the local community. Only 10 people came to his funeral, Bill, and nobody volunteered as a pallbearer to carry his coffin. So he had
terrible. Where was the funeral? Woolies? Where did they have it? They put him on ice. What'd they do?
There you go. Lobster Boy. You can read all Lobster about it. I mean, there's been a million different media depictions of Lobster Boys through the year. HBO's Carnival had a character based on him, Scorpion Boy, American Freak Show, The Terrible Tale of Sloth Boy, American Horror Story, Freak Show was a Lobster Boy character. John Strom wrote The Ballad of Lobster Boy. And also, The Dollop, our buddy Gareth Reynolds and his partner Dave Anthony, they did an entire episode based and devoted to Grady Stiles, the Lobster Boy from Pittsburgh.
I have to listen to that now. Gareth is a good friend, obviously, of the show, and we love him, and he's hilarious. But I thought you were going to tell me that story. That guy was born in, like, 1902. I didn't realize that he's doing all this stuff while the Steelers are winning 4 Super Bowls. Like, he could have just gone to the games and had 2 foam fingers. Nobody knows anything. It's just, hey, I'm a huge fan. Nobody knows what's under there.
Yeah, that would have been funny if they would have had him at the Super Bowl parades.
Did it say what neighborhood he lived in?
It did not. I'm guessing Washington's Landing, somewhere.
Somebody listening has to know that story.
Somewhere in the North Shore.
It was national news. All right, where in Pittsburgh did Lobster Boy... Man, my Google searches are so bizarre. Where in Pittsburgh did Lobster Boy live? 511 Forland Street, North Side. He was a North Sider.
Yeah.
North Side, dude. That's hilarious. That's right by James Street Tavern, right?
Yeah.
I think so, which isn't there anymore either. Is. But that poor guy. I mean, poor everybody surrounding
poor entire everybody
scenario.
Around him. Yeah, his That's whole right. ecosystem. Everybody in the tank.
That all happened on the North Side. How bizarre is that? All right. Anyways, back to relevant news or not. Maybe it's more pleasant to talk about the murderous Lobster Boy from the North Side. I don't know.
It might be. There's a tabloidy aspect to that that's not quite as devastating as everything else we're going to talk about this morning. Here's the Channel 11 Severe Weather.
Severe Weather Center 11.
Was nice to actually open the windows overnight. last night. 59 degrees now at DVE. Lawyers for Jeffrey Epstein's longtime associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, are expected to argue their client be released on $5 million bond during a hearing today in New York federal court. The 58-year-old denies accusations she recruited young girls for Epstein to sexually abuse in the 90s and that she is being used as a scapegoat. Due to her relationship with him, the British socialite was arrested earlier this month in New Hampshire. She's been held in Brooklyn. Prosecutors are she is a wealthy flight risk who tried to go undetected from authorities in New Hampshire by wrapping her cell phone in tinfoil. So much it's like putting tinfoil on your head to tried that. Didn't work.
I, Val, I was going to tell you, over my vacation week, I watched Uncut Gems, which was a nice 2.5 hour panic attack for me. And then
what I tell you,
oh my God, it was just, I was anxious the entire time. And so, yes. You know how like that thing happens when you watch a movie and then something else comes up into the queue, like, oh, if you watched Uncut Gems, you'll like this. Well, mm-hmm. The thing that came up next was that Epstein documentary. And I was like, all right, fine. Let's steer into the skid. Maybe it's like multiplying negative numbers. And if I watch something even more awful, then it will somehow, like, I don't know, eliminate what I just watched, which wasn't the case. I watched the first episode.
At least Uncut Gems is made up, right?
Right. The Epstein one. The first episode is so unbelievably awful. And if you watch it, she is as big of a monster as he is. She was absolutely critical to the entire thing, like, because she was the woman. So a lot of these girls were like, oh, she's like the madam of the house. She was in on all of the assaults. She was, I mean, when they were down in Palm Beach, Florida, they were sending out like little flyers and stuff into every one of the high schools to come give massages. She was in on every single one of those. This wasn't somebody that was tangentially like, oh yeah,
that's how they
I
did
know
it?
Jeffrey. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I didn't watch the documentary because I thought it would be too awful. The only reason I wanted to watch it is because I wanted to see all the people who are still alive who need to be taken down.
Right.
But one of the news stories I saw about her said that she's got videos of several politicians involved with underage girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's the network of people. So the way that they would do it is they would say, oh, come over for a massage. It's a couple $100. And these girls would be like, you know, if one of them got super uncomfortable, then he would say, okay, well, then just recruit girls for me. And I will give you $300 for every girl you bring me. I mean, that's how they built their network down there, at least. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Ugh. And he couldn't have done it without her. So she, like, if she doesn't somehow end up, you know, tripping over something and falling on a knife, I would be surprised.
Yeah, she
everything
needs to
is
be
so
watched
terrible.
Every
I could not. I could not put myself through watching that, but like hearing those details, it is unbelievable to me that it's not even a bigger deal or there hasn't been a bigger rush with that much evidence just from what you said to bust all those guys who were in on that. Like Alan Dershowitz saying, like, I only got massages in my underwear from underage girls. Are you kidding me? And we still let him go on TV and talk like he knows, like, no, you're discredited forever.
Yeah, and how has he not been charged with anything? He admitted it.
Like, Bill Clinton was on that plane 27 times. 27 times. Like, there's no way you don't know what the deal. Like, it seems like,
right,
from what I've seen so far, that was the whole deal. It wasn't like, oh, that was an aspect of what he had going on. It's like, that's what he had going on.
Oh, I just,
he had a place in Palm Beach. He had
his own island,
mansion in New York. He had his own island. He had a huge ranch in New Mexico, and he had a huge like palatial estate in Paris. And it starts with a deposition where they're asking him all these questions, Epstein, about him soliciting minors and all this. He pleads the fifth on every single question.
Do they get into the first, since you only watched the first episode?
Yeah.
Do they get into
that? I was like, okay, honestly, I don't know why I did this to myself. I want to just, can I find a church that's open and just walk in and sit there?
I don't know about that either. I'd watch the Muppet movie.
Cute emergency, Bill. Go on Twitter. Look up cute emergency.
Yeah.
Come on. They were probably making those Muppets do dirty things to each other.
No, don't.
No, don't. Don't you ruin the Muppet.
Wait a minute. All right.
Oh, wait a minute. The guy that did Elmo. Oh, no.
The guy that did Elmo was a creep.
Yeah. Total creep.
No, I was going to ask you what, and I don't remember all the details, but some district attorney or attorney general in Florida basically let Epstein off.
Oh, I mean,
on charge.
He had everybody in his pocket, like the police precinct in Palm Beach. The first, whenever they first discovered who he was for real, they did a cover story on him in Vanity Fair. And because everybody was like, we know this uber wealthy guy. We know he exists. We've heard of him. We don't know how he got his money. We don't know anything about him. And so when they first started doing a story, this woman who was pregnant at the time found these two girls who he had assaulted that were previous employees of his that were sort of willing to talk. And so she put that in the story, and he called her and was like, listen, if this story comes out, it's going to be really bad for you, because I know every doctor in the city, and I'll have somebody put a curse on your unborn babies. And she's like, I'm pregnant. I'm like really scared. Vanity Fair killed that part of the piece, like completely eliminated all of that from the story. And so there was a question of like the head editor at Vanity Fair was in Epstein's pocket. Like, his influence,
oh my God,
cannot be understated or underestimated. Like, it was politicians, police, DAs, everybody.
So how is Ghislaine Maxwell going to die?
That's what I said. She should be watched every minute of every day.
Epstein was. Remember then the guy like, oops, I fell asleep. Whoops.
Well, yeah. She needs to go down and take everybody else down with her.
Well, wasn't there already a story of her like having to sneak from cell to cell to avoid assassins or something? Didn't I read?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. I thought that they had to keep moving her, whatever facility she was. I mean, can you imagine? Like, how many? I mean, these are heads of state, these royalty. I mean, Prince Andrew, like, go back and look at that one interview that he did. It's one of the worst interviews you'll ever see. They were like, he's screwed. He's out of the family.
Well, one of the girls said, if I was Prince Andrew, I'd be real worried.
There's just so many. They took so many pictures, too. There's so many pictures of those guys.
See, now just talking about this makes me furious, and I want to watch it now. Because I want to see who all was involved, and I want to see them go down.
Yep.
Okay, on to all other awfulness for the first time. This is actually a better news, I guess. For the first time in 2 weeks, health officials in Allegheny County reporting less than 100 new cases of COVID-19 in the county. Yesterday, the county added 71 confirmed or probable COVID-19 cases, with the total overall rising to 5,033 since the start of the pandemic. About 2,300 of those cases have come since July 1st. That has only led, though, to 73 hospitalizations. Elsewhere in our region, 23 new positives in Lawrence County, 16 in Westmoreland, Butler, Beaver, and Washington counties. Washington County has 8, 6 in Fayette and Mercer, 5 in Somerset, 2 in Jefferson. COVID-19 being blamed for the death of a beloved Manassas High School coach. School officials say the virus claimed the life of retired girls basketball coach Major Tuffy Corley this past weekend at the age of 73. Corley guided the Greyhounds to a state title in 2004 and multiple other championships in more than 20 years at the helm of the program. An assistant DA for Allegheny County is in ICU battling COVID-19. Russ Broman thinks he was exposed to the virus June 30th at the county courthouse and tells friends he has filed a complaint with OSHA over coronavirus conducive working conditions. Channel 11 reports he was hospitalized July 7th, but is not on a ventilator. It's believed he was around another attorney in the DA's office that tested positive for COVID-19. And an article in the Post-Gazette states that 16 city frontline workers are in isolation because they've all tested positive. Allegheny Health Network has announced they have more mobile testing sites ready to go. According to a story on Channel 2, today they'll be testing at City Hall in Clairton, tomorrow the Family Health Center in Hazelwood, Thursday at the Alma Illery Medical Center in Homewood, and Friday at Duquesne Elementary in Duquesne. And you do not need a doctor's order, but you are encouraged to schedule your appointment. And this is a good example of how the virus can spread so easily when people are out and about. Delta says 3 passengers who flew on a recent regional flight have tested positive for COVID-19. That flight through subsidiary Endeavor Air from Atlanta to Albany, New York on July 6th. All passengers who were on that flight are asked to call their local health departments. And I don't know about the people who were in the airport with them at the same time, but you can see how easily it might spread.
Right.
And a former White House chief of staff under President Trump is taking shots at the coronavirus response in the U.S. Mick Mulvaney wrote an op-ed for CNBC saying there is still a testing problem in this country. He explained test results for his son took several days to come back and his daughter didn't even qualify to get a test. Mulvaney called it simply inexcusable at this point of the pandemic. His comments come as several states continue to see a surge in COVID-19 cases. Those states include Arizona, California, Florida, and Texas. The Eagles are releasing a live version of Hotel California ahead of the release of Live from the Forum 2018 on October 16th. The album was recorded over 3 nights at the Forum in Los Angeles in 2018. That was during their first tour without Glenn Frey. He had passed away in 2016. His spot has been filled by Deacon Frey, his son, and also country star Vince Gill, who is a longtime friend of the band. Johnny Depp admitted in a London courtroom that he squandered $650 million in movie earnings. When his wife at the time, Amber Heard, learned of his financial mismanagement, Depp alleged that she threw a haymaker punch at him. Depp is suing the publishing group that owns The Sun for libel. The British tabloid called him a wife beater in an article. The trial has exposed Depp's toxic marriage to Amber Heard and his out of control lifestyle. On Monday, Depp said on the witness stand, quote, "This is ludicrous to have to state. It's quite embarrassing. I not only lost $650 million, but I was $100 million in the hole because former business managers hadn't paid the government my taxes in 17 years. End quote. Depp shared this financial crisis with Amber the night of her 30th birthday party. He said she got violent with, quote, "wild swinging, a roundhouse punch. It's a bit of a wild swing, but effective if it reaches the target," end quote.
In fairness to her, if you lose $650 million, you deserve to be punched in the face by your girlfriend. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, come on. You can't be that reckless with the cash, honey.
Wow. What an insane life.
No wonder he's always looking for buried treasure. He's like, I lost the last one.
He's going to be doing go Pirates of the Caribbean 28.
Like another one of these movies? Yeah. Yep. Got hammered. Lost another 100 mil. Let's go.
And finally, Grant Imahara, an electrical engineer familiar to fans of Mythbusters, has died. The 49-year-old died Monday, reportedly after a brain aneurysm. He also worked with Lucasfilms for a while as well. And authorities say they're confident the body found in a Southern California lake yesterday is that of missing Glee actress Naya Rivera. The Ventura County Sheriff's Office made the assessment based on the victim's clothing, personal characteristics, and where the body was located. Some articles have said said that she and her son were swimming, and she managed to get her son back on the boat, but she then drowned. Sunny mid-80s for the high today. It's 59 at DVE.
Pursuit is on vacation. Tim Benz filling in with your sports when we return here on DVE.
App for terms.
DVE Sports.
All right, Pursuit is out this week. Tim Benz filling in with your sports on the DVE Morning Show. What's up, Benzie?
Start off with hockey. Since the Penguins began their rebooted training camp up in Cranberry on Monday, the hope is to start the season in Toronto versus the Canadiens on August the 1st, but the organization did so under the cloud of nine guys not being able to participate because of secondary contact concerns thanks to the coronavirus. The likes of Patrick Hornquist, Juuso Riikola, and Casey DeSmith, with six other young prospects, all held back from participating in day one of drills. Mike Sullivan, the head coach, called it an abundance of caution so as to make sure the team didn't start a spread early on. Sidney Crosby was on the ice and also wearing a mask during his Zoom interview, as were all of the players and coaches. And Sid talks about just trying to get to Toronto as healthy as possible to start the season again.
You know, it'll be an important time here the next few weeks, you know, to make sure we're doing our best to stay out of trouble that way. But I think, you know, we're getting tested here every second day, I think it is. So everyone's on top of it and making sure that, you know, we're social distancing and all that stuff. So, you know, we're doing everything we can to avoid it. And, you know, hopefully that's, you know, that's able to be a success and we can get to the bubble healthy.
And when you get away from all the coronavirus talk, all the infection talk, you actually have hockey talk. Like, I found it bizarro world yesterday. Mm-hmm. If you listen to Mark Madden in the afternoon and doing my podcast with Mark for the Trib on Monday, and we're talking about who's going to take Phil Kessel's spot along the wall and do that better on the power play. What's
good.
The second power play unit going to look like? You're going to have two guys in the first power play unit that are defensemen, Gensel or Hornquist in front of the net. Where does Hornquist fit into the works once he does get out there? And it's like, we're actually talking hockey here. How about that? Including the return of Jake Gensel. And Sidney Crosby spoke to that as well.
It always takes a little bit of time, but, you know, he's looked really good in the skates. He looks really comfortable, strong. I think the fact that he has been able to skate for a good chunk of time here will definitely help, but he looks really good. So for somebody who had, you know, as much of a layoff as he did, I think he's done a great job of rehabbing and making sure that he's ready to go. So he looks strong right now.
And one theory that's been floated out there a bunch about the Penguins, why they might have a good chance of winning this restarted format in the bubble situations, is that you've got guys like Gensel, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, who are now at or near 30, not in Gensel's case, but the other guys, and they don't have 82 games of wear and tear on their back to start the playoffs. They're actually coming in fresh. Now, the counter to that is, well, so does everybody else, so they'll all be fast too, but I think it does behoove the Penguins more than the average team to have those skilled players with fresh legs. Their speed will be heightened more, I would think, than the other teams involved, wouldn't you?
I do, definitely. And I'm wondering how it's going to affect goaltending, which, you know, these are guys who kind of rely on repetition to get into the zone and, you know, feel the groove and all that. And if they're not used to seeing shots peppered at them nonstop, I'm wondering if we won't see some high scoring efforts if 13 days from now things go as planned.
Well, especially for the teams. I'm sorry, Bill, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's the most critical, in my opinion, the most critical position, because most teams lack of depth there. Like, that's the one guy that can't get sick. That's the one guy that can't get the virus. Because if you don't have a goalie, you're out of luck.
Counterpoint, if your goalie has COVID, nobody will want to get near the net.
He should have like a COVID light. The goal light should go on anytime you get too close to remind yourself, yes, the goalie has COVID. Yes. Now, the Penguins, as will all NHL teams, they'll have four goalies that they can bring. So you can get to Jeff Zatkoff plus one, potentially, when it comes to your goaltending situation in the NHL bubble. Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry will be battling for time, obviously. But yeah, you're right, Bill. When it comes to you, it's going to be very interesting to see the best 3 of 5 format teams, especially when it comes to goalies. How quick is the trigger from the coach to go to the backup if the perceived starter gets off to a slow start? Because there's no bouncing back from it in a 3 of 5 series. You got to act quickly if you're thinking about going to a different goaltender. Now, as far as the Pirates go, they're dealing with a lot of these questions, too, about COVID-19. But so far, so good for the most part, aside from maybe Keone Kella, who we haven't seen yet at PNC Park. The Pirates announced that on over the weekend, they'll be doing some preseason games with the Cleveland Indians. The opener will be Saturday at PNC Park with the first of 3 exhibition contests against the Indians. That's followed by a trip to Progressive Field in Cleveland on July the 20th. And PNC Park again on the 22nd. All games 7:05 and will be telecast on AT&T Sportsnet. The middle infield, as we wrote about today in the Trib on Breakfast with Benz, got a lot of players there, a lot of options for Derek Shelton, the new manager of the Pirates, between Adam Frazier, Kevin Newman, Cole Tucker, TJ Riddle, and Eric Gonzalez. Here is Adam Frazier talking about his double play partner, shortstop Kevin Newman.
He spent a week and a half on the DL when he busted his hand up and came back and hit the ground running. Said a lot for, his mental ability to bounce back and his mental toughness to come out, hit the ground running, and never look back. He really, really put together a strong year offensively, and then he grew day by day defensively. So I think he's in a really good spot to keep growing into his second full season, and looking forward to playing with him and working with him, and seeing how good we can become as a group.
I still think there are at bats to be found for Cole Tucker, though. I mean, we're talking about a 24-year-old first round pick. It's a 60-game season. You're the Pirates. Mm-hmm. You're in a perpetual rebuild. Adam Frazier can DH sometimes. Adam Frazier can go to the outfield sometimes. I'd try to find opportunities to get Cole Tucker a look here, especially if somebody wants a guy like Adam Frazier, decides to trade for him this year or next. See what you got. He's a former first-round pick. He brings energy. He brings excitement. He's got a good glove. He's certainly got speed. I don't know if he can hit yet at the major league level. 209 last year, 211 last year. But there are chances, especially in the season, the way that it's formatted right now, to take a long look at him. According to Pro Football Talk, with no immediate deadline for striking a deal, as to the various issues lingering between the league and the NFLPA on the COVID-19 rules, the two sides did not strike any deals during a bargaining session Monday. Richard Sherman, who's on the NFLPA executive committee, said, though, good meeting with management. We were blunt and honest with them. We will not compromise our players' health in these discussions. One thing that was released yesterday, Oakley came out with the prospect of a full face shield visor with some breathing holes underneath the bottom of the face mask. I don't know if you guys saw it. It's a little disappointing if you were like me and you wanted to see the paintball helmet meets Street Hawk from the 1980s look yeah. that we talked about a few weeks ago. This is a lot more bland. This actually looks more like the Sidney Crosby face shield when he first came back after the broken jaw from the Brooks Orpik slap shot. That's kind of what it looks like. But J.J. Watt, the brother of T.J. Watt, is on record as saying you wouldn't see me wearing one of those. So we'll see how that goes as far as mandating something. Maybe the players just won't go with it. And frankly, I'm with the players on this one. After how many years of worrying about the helmets and design and concussions and all that, to force any sort of change with the headgear, line of vision, anything to that effect, I would not force that on the players.
It doesn't look good for AB's return either. I mean, if he was making a big fuss about his helmet last year, he's really not going to like this.
Well, that's what I said. Imagine Potash. He would go out there. He'd finally get signed and then get a new helmet and pitch a fit and walk off the field again. That would be AB in a nutshell.
Dan Potash joining us when we come back here on the DVE Morning Show. Doing it right. DVE Morning Show, Randy Bauman, along with Bill Crawford, Val Porter. Benz is filling in for Mike Pursuta this morning with your sports. From AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh, joining us right now, our dear friend, Dan Potash. Danny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm really doing very well. I hope all is well with you and your families. Good to hear your voices.
Yeah, no, well, likewise, buddy. So, all right, you're back. You're in the Berg, right? You are here. You were at practice yesterday.
I was. It was like the first day at school.
Yeah. I bet it had that vibe. Cool. So, what was the protocol for you as media covering this? What did you guys have to do in order to get where you needed to be to report on what was happening?
Well, of course, as we all know, this is kind of the new norm, and we've been working through it with the Penguins and their PR staff, who have done an excellent job, Tom McMillan, Jen Bolano and company, and making players available to us over the last few weeks, few months, via Zoom and Skype calls. But yesterday was kind of like that first opportunity to get back in the classroom, if you will. And they made sure that everything was a step-by-step process. We walked up to the arena, showed our credential, quickly got our temperature taken, quick questionnaire. Went in, we had assigned seating, 12 of us from the respected local media outlets on the top row, if you will, at the UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex. And it was just like practice. It was nice to actually sit right next to Phil Bourque. And by the way, let me get to this first. No, we did not go to lunch afterwards. And if we did, I would have paid the bill. Bill. Anyway,
like Borky's the one who claimed that you were the skinflint there, Danny. So don't lay it on Bill.
I just repeated the lie. But Potash, did you dress up in costume to make the players feel more comfortable? Yes or no?
Stop changing the topic. No.
Disco Dan.
I did not, but it was nice to sit next to Borky. It was just like sitting on the plane with him. It was good to have my partner with me. And you know, it was like I said, like the first day of school. You didn't know where you were sitting. You didn't know how practice was going to go, what you were going to see in the ice, who was going to be on the ice, how things would work. And then, yes, a little strange that as the players left the ice, that we got on a WebEx and players were brought out, brought to a room, which of course was, just, I don't know, 100 feet, 200 feet away, somewhere back in the locker room. And, spoke to us, as Tim Benz noted just a few minutes ago, that they were all wearing masks, as were we. And I think if there was one glitch that on the media's side, and me included, that we kept forgetting to unmute ourselves. So a lot of times there was this uncomfortable silence while we were waiting to hear someone's question, and then we kept forgetting to unmute ourselves. So that's something that we'll, again, have to get used to. But it was a smooth ride. Again, this is a new time. It's going to be weird, at least for me, to not have that interaction with players side by side. I mean, that's been part of the fun of, getting guys to loosen up and have some fun with them on the air, surprising them with a question or taking a shot at them and having them smile. So not to say that I still won't do that, but, it's just different now. But we'll get used to it and we'll make it work. And, we're getting close. Hopefully there'll be no more bumps in the road like we had yesterday with some players that were voluntarily sidelined for potential secondary exposure to the coronavirus. But, I'm sure there'll be some bumps along the way, and we'll push through it. We'll push through it.
Dan, one of the things I liked is you mentioned them wearing the masks on the Zoom call. They clearly don't have to wear a mask if they're on a Zoom call, because I would imagine they are by themselves for that call, right?
Well, I believe that they were in a room with at least one representative of the Penguins media staff.
Okay.
Who brought them over to the.
I like that
so
they
forth,
did
so.
That though. I think that sets a great example. Like that's, I think it's so cool. If you see your hockey stars out there wearing the masks, then it'll help. It matters when public figures wear them and aren't afraid to wear them on camera. So I applaud the Penguins for leading the way in that regard. With Patrick Hornquist, was his just when they talk about being COVID adjacent? Was it just because he was quarantining in Sweden and things were kind of spiraling out there? Had you heard anything about that?
No, and you know what? They don't have to let us know. Obviously, there's an element of privacy, and we're with players that have contracted it or so forth, we will not be told. So you can think that, but certainly of the nine players, the most notable, Hornquist, Rikola, and just they were certainly players of that caught your attention that weren't on the ice, but you don't know why. So, okay, hopefully in a few days everything gets cleared and guys return, including Hornquist and Rikola, since those are two figures that we saw on a regular basis, obviously, throughout the regular season.
Dan, these social distancing guidelines that you're going through now, would you have actually preferred these, say, back 5-6 years ago to avoid the constant barrage of stick ball taps from the likes of Pascal Dupuis and Max Talbot over the years?
Oh, and don't forget Marc-Andre Fleury. Don't forget about him. Yeah, timing would have been great, huh? It would have been interesting, but... it's something that's going to be different. And, it, Ben, it also goes along with the fact that we'll be doing our broadcasts from the studio on the North Shore. So to kind of have, the guys tossed to me for the intermission interview and I'm just, around the corner or on the second floor or wherever my position may be, will be kind of strange as I toss to a WebEx interview that I have done, however that is going to be done. And we haven't been given details on that yet, but it's all part of this new way that things will be done. But it's something that we'll have to get through just the same way players are getting through it with the bubble and how that will move forward for at least for just the NHL players. I know obviously in baseball things are a little bit different, but we'll make it work. But yes, it would have been nice to avoid that. I still have some scars both physically and mentally from that over the years.
All right. So as far as on the ice stuff, the big news yesterday was the return of Jake Guentzel, and he's paired up with on Sid's line with Connor Sherry. And, by all accounts, things look good. I don't know how much you can glean from one practice, but it sure looked like the Jake Guentzel of old by all accounts.
It did. And again, it's important to note that it was only practice, but the biggest thing that stood out was his speed. And then you throw the same speed factor in with Crosby and Sherry, and it's wonderful to watch. It reminds you of what that line was like when it was at its best back in 2017, the things that they were able to do. And I think it's also fair to note that speed certainly doesn't hit pause when the second line takes the ice. Zucker, along with Malkin and Rust, that's a pretty good compliment. So that's a nice 1-2 punch. But, there's no real contact in practice, but just to see them flying up and down the ice was really just a refreshing memory of what it was like when things were peaking for that line. So, they've all been well rested. Obviously, Jake rebounding from an injury. Who would have thought this would have happened? But the fact that he's back in the mix is certainly something to be excited about.
Was there any question as to whether or not he would land with Sid or maybe bolster Gino like he had in the past?
Well, I think it's certainly an opportunity to see what these guys can do again. Mike Sullivan talked about that yesterday where he felt that, there's a reason why they put Jake back together with Crosby and Sherry. They want to see if they can produce the same kind of numbers that they did not too long ago. But, everything's always fluid. Everybody always likes to make a big deal about the lines and what they'll look like, but they change throughout a game depending on how things evolve during a game. If they don't go well, they're going to juggle up the lines and so forth, and you find another combination that works. So I think it was probably the odds-on favorite that we would see them together, and that had been the case during these voluntary workouts over the last couple of weeks before yesterday's first day of Phase 3. So, but anything's changeable. But I do like the way that's set up right now, and I'm intrigued to see what Zucker and Malkin and Russ can do together, because they did have some time together, and I thought that they did some good things as well. But, yes, a lot of Zucker's success with the Penguins during his short time when he was acquired did come with Crosby on that top line. Okay, we'll see what happens.
Sid the kids.
And I know that Guentzel coming back was obviously the big headline, but how about Marino and Dumoulin being healthy? I mean, that's got to be a huge boost to the squad as they head into the tournament.
Yeah, I agree. They were just kind of getting a chance to get the wheels moving again right before things hit pause. But to see the pairings yesterday, I think they were very similar to what we saw right before things were stopped. I think that last game in New Jersey in early March. So it was nice to see those guys kind of get back up and running. And then, obviously we hit pause. But, much like Jake, and other teams can say the same thing, this was an opportunity for a lot of guys to get healthy in return. But you've got some pretty impactful players for the Penguins that are now at 100%, you would hope. And playing really, really well, or practicing really well, that hopefully will lead to good play in the not too distant future. And it's hard to believe that 2 weeks from now they'll be in the bubble and we'll get things going against the Canadians up in Canada.
More hockey talk in the future from us here, and hopefully less having to talk about dealing with COVID. Dan Potash, thanks so much for making time for us this morning, man. Great to hear from you, and continued good health to you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks again, guys. And Bill, let's do lunch.
Yeah.
It's on you, Dan.
All right. I'll make sure I bring the diner
card. Don't bring anything. Don't bring anything. Just bring your smiling face.
Oh, look at that. Danny's offering to buy you lunch. That's nice.
Hopefully takeout. All right.
See you, Dan.
Potash is going to dress up as Luke Skywalker, and Bill can be Princess Leia.
Now I'm coming as a stormtrooper, built-in N95 mask.
No, that's good. Nice. That's smart. Darth Vader. That's a way to do it. Bal's got your news when we return. What you got there, Bal?
Well, I'm hoping to get to the story about the ways we've embarrassed ourselves on Zoom during the pandemic. Didn't get to it last hour, so I hope to this hour. Oh my gosh.
Doug Loves Movies podcast host Doug Benson, Billy Gardella in the 9 o'clock hour. It's the DV
Pittsburgh.
What did Lobster Boy end up doing? I mean, you got to go join the circus, right? I mean, or just be an entertainer at the fair.
He was one of the most successful freak show attractions for a long, long time. Then he kind of lost his mind and murdered a few people. He killed his daughter's fiance the night before their wedding.
You know, that all could have been prevented if they just would have put rubber bands around his hands.
Randy Bellman and the DVE Morning Show.
Bill Crawford. Oh, that's fine. Not your lobster phobic, crustacean phobic. You're going to be canceled by the crustaceites. Hey, well, probably not easy to drive with lobster hands, but Wright Auto has a deal that is...
Nice segue.
This car is so easy to drive, Lobster Boy could have navigated it. Now, today's DVE auto deal from Wright Hyundai is a 2016 Lincoln MKC Reserve with just under 21,000 miles on it. It's equipped with navigation, heated leather seats. Oh, those are nice in a wintertime. All-wheel drive, power liftgate, panoramic roof, turbocharged, and much more. It can be yours today for the discounted price of $23,999. You cannot find this deal anywhere else but at Hyundai.com. Grab it before someone else does. Today's DVE auto deal is a 2016 Lincoln MK Reserve listed at just $23,999. It's featured online as the DVE deal of the day at RightHyundai.com, or stop by and visit their showroom on Perry Highway in Wexford. Val, what's up?
Here's the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
On Severe Weather Center 11.
It's 60 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. A food distribution event is planned for this Friday in Petrolia, Butler County. The Petroleum Valley Food Cupboard will be giving food out to those in need by appointment only. However, that event begins at 9 a.m. at their facility on the 100 block of Chestnut Street. And again, that is this Friday. 412 Food Rescue will distribute fresh produce tomorrow from 11 to 1 at Falling Water in the Laurel Highlands. They are partnering with the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy to get food to those who need it in that area. An organizer of a protest in East Liberty is concerned about a plan to move police back into the Zone 5 police station. Randall Taylor tells WPXI that the move back to the station at North Euclid Avenue and Broad Street is a classic misuse of police and will only create a more uncomfortable way of life for people of color. In a statement from the city, officials say the current Washington Boulevard location has flooding issues, and since they already own that former Zone 5 station, it would be cheaper for the city. The future of an historic Delmont Park is in doubt because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Fairview Parks Board says the pandemic forced the cancellation of major fundraisers, raising questions about whether the 50-acre park can be maintained. Fairview Park is the largest African-American-owned park east of the Mississippi River. It opened in 1945 as an answer to segregated parks in Pennsylvania. Investigators are looking into at least 14 smash-and-grab break-ins since the end of May at North Park. Most of the incidents happened on the same day, for instance, occurred on July 3rd, according to Park Police. One woman telling police someone stole her checkbook and withdrew $8,800 from her bank account. Police are checking surveillance footage for leads. President Trump says he's getting rave reviews for commuting the 40-month prison sentence of longtime supporter Roger Stone. Trump said that Stone's prosecution should never have taken place. A federal court convicted Stone of lying to Congress, witness tampering, and obstruction. Joe Biden's presidential campaign coming to the defense of Dr. Anthony Fauci. Campaign spokesman Andrew Bates said President Trump has disastrously mismanaged the coronavirus pandemic and failed to heed the warnings and guidance from Fauci and other medical experts. He called Trump's attempt to put blame on the nation's leading infectious disease expert a bad failure of leadership. Fauci and Trump have taken different stances on the outbreak recently, Fauci urging more precautions be taken by Americans while Trump is touting his response to the pandemic. With COVID-19 cases continuing to surge, an Army medical team is in Houston to help fight the outbreak. Governor Greg Abbott announced last week a mobilization of federal resources. The U.S. Army Urban Augmentation Medical Task Force arrived in Houston yesterday. The 85-member task force includes medical and support professionals from the Army Reserve who will assist local efforts against the pandemic. A similar task force has been in San Antonio since last week. A new study is finding that roughly one-third of young adults are vulnerable to developing severe complications from COVID-19. The most significant risk factor? Smoking. Researchers from the University of California, San Francisco reviewed answers of 8,400 people ages 18 to 25 who participated in the survey and compared them with risk indicators of developing severe symptoms. Those risk factors include heart conditions, diabetes, asthma, immune conditions, liver conditions, obesity, and smoking. They found 32% of the group was at risk of being hospitalized or needing intensive care because of the coronavirus. The researcher said one way to decrease your risk of developing severe complications is to quit smoking, which wouldn't the damage already be done at that point?
That was my question, because I smoked for a while, but I haven't smoked for at least 5 years now.
I'd read stuff where they thought that maybe nicotine actually helped. You know, it's one of those things where there's been so much conflicting information about this.
And beer.
Yeah, right.
Fox News' Tucker Carlson taking some time off after the top writer for his show stepped down after a history of posting racist remarks under a pseudonym was found. Blake Neff had been posting to unmoderated online forum AutoAdmit, making negative comments about Asians, African Americans, and women. Carlson told viewers on Monday Neff's words were wrong and he does not endorse them. He also announced he'll be taking what he called a long-planned vacation to do some fishing. So have you embarrassed yourself on a Zoom call yet? A new survey. I mean, we use Zoom, you know, for our purposes. A new survey looked at the most common embarrassing moments we've had on Zoom since the pandemic first hit. Top 10, talking for a while and then realize you were muted the whole time. Which Randy just did about 15 minutes ago. Almost a third of us have done that.
Here's what was great about it. I was over here gesticulating wildly and all up in arms about something and talking, thinking they were all listening to me. And they all let me just do it for like 3 or 4 minutes until finally Joe was like, hey, dude, nobody can hear you. You're on mute right now. I'm like, oh, well, thanks for letting me just over here, you know, mime everything over here. You know, like I'm in a silent movie.
Saying something embarrassing when you thought you were muted. That may have happened this morning as well.
Bill's kids come into the room to say hi to him all the time, and they're super adorable, and I love seeing them, but I don't always see that they're there. And so I didn't know. Emma was sitting behind you. Like, literally, you blocked her out of the shot.
Correct.
And so I was speaking adult words.
Yes, she knows that Uncle Randy has a potty mouth, and it's not a big deal.
That's not, it's not fair. It's totally not fair. I didn't know she. If I was doing it when I knew they were in there, then I should be chastised. But I didn't know.
I didn't realize that I had the Zoom off mute. Like, you know, we talk in between the breaks, and where you guys are having a conversation, and I turn around to start talking to her, and you're going off and really stringing together. I mean, you went on a run,
championship,
and I saw her eyes get real wide, and she was like, "What?" Is what are all those words? I've never heard all those together.
They were top tier ones too. They were not. Oh, you can't take those ones back. Yeah.
No. And you know what? You didn't socially distance those words at all. They congregated all in a couple of
lingering
sentences
together.
It was what you call a stream of profanities, a river, if you will.
Someone walking in and or interrupting you like your kids or your spouse, which for news people, I love those. And I've seen some of them where like weather guys get so pissed because their kids are coming in. It's adorable. Let it happen.
Well, that's what I mean. When Bill's girls come in, I love seeing them. To me, that's like watching a dog video. I'm like, oh, it's so cute. Like, I love to see the girls.
I think the most important part of it, the reason that it's not hilarious when my girls come in, other than if they catch somebody swearing, is because I don't really take myself too seriously, and I don't care if they come in and like if it all goes to hell on the air, like it's kind of baked in. Like you just be like, oh, Bill has his kids there and whatever. But the news people take themselves so seriously. Some of them can be wound so tight. That's what really makes it fun. You know what I mean?
I wish there was a button that Zoom made available so that like you could put it on the door of the room that you're Zooming in, so that if someone were coming in, they press the button and then your square on the Zoom lights up yellow. Like, caution, caution, caution. Somebody's coming into the Zoom shot. Because that way I would look at your Zoom and I would know that you are under the caution flag, and then I wouldn't start throwing out the profanities.
Warning, warning. Danger. 22% say they left the camera on when they went to the bathroom.
Bill.
Guilty. Guilty.
Bill did
How close
a
is your bathroom
Leslie Nielsen.
To where you are.
Not close. It's down the hall.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Those are powerful
mics.
Apparently,
I have like an airplane flusher. It is.
Someone walked through your background naked. We've seen those videos online. Hasn't happened here yet, but you didn't realize people could. No, there was some politician. Well, the one woman politician was changing her shirt that was totally naked.
Oh,
that old Mexican lady. And
there was some guy who was on a Zoom call. I think this guy was a celebrity, and his mistress walked naked behind him.
He was an Italian news anchor.
Yeah. So.
The Mexican politician lady, I loved though. She's like, I don't care. I'm proud of my breasts. I raised four kids. And then it became this big discussion about her breasts. And she's like, I don't care. And then
body love.
Everybody was like coming to her defense. Like, no, it's fine that she showed her breasts. It's like, no, nobody has a problem with the shape of your breasts. It's not a discussion about what they look like. It's just whether or not you should throw them out in the middle of a Zoom meeting of other politicians. But the discussion shifted to like, oh, I have to be embarrassed about my breasts now? Listen, I raise kids. And then everyone's like, yes, look, she's a mother. And that's what breasts look like when you're 65 and you have had five kids. Like, that's not what we're talking about. Everybody's fine with that. We just don't want to see them at lunch.
I won't be areola shamed on this Zoom call. And sure, they're a little bigger than most. You know, maybe, okay, so they're the size of dinner plates. What I'm not going to stand for is this kind of slander.
Fine. I have peppermint patty areolas.
You didn't realize people could tell you weren't wearing pants. You should wear pants. Definitely. Other embarrassing background events besides nudity. So I don't like your kids fighting in the background or your dog pooping on the carpet or I don't know. Taking
your
a
Nazi
screenshot
in the background.
Oops.
Yeah.
I'm a collector.
Taking a screenshot of the call without muting yourself so then everybody hears it that you took the screenshot. Caught talking to your pets or yelling at them.
You're
yelling
in
at your
kid. My little berry bear.
Berry bear.
You're in demand. My little berry kings.
Also, yelling at your kids without muting yourself. People have been busted doing that.
I don't think I've done that. No, I hit.
You've not done any
make sure.
Lobster boy like tirades on your kids.
Two more just missing the top 10, falling asleep on camera and being caught day drinking. I've almost done that.
Hold on. Mama needs a spike of coffee for the 9 o'clock hour.
You got to be real reckless, though, to get caught drinking on a Zoom call. You can put it in a coffee mug. Maybe I'm telling on myself here, but like, you know, just don't drink out of the bottle.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thanks for thanks for giving me that tip, Bill.
We'll
you want me to wrap it up
about.
Now or
yeah, don't
seconds.
Do another one. You can finish this
all
if
right.
you want, but
no, that's it. We're done with the Zooms. Forecast okay. today, sun nice summer day, sunny mid-80s, it's 60 at DVE.
I want to make time because we have Billy Gardell in the 9 o'clock hour. We're talking to our buddy Doug Benson from Doug Loves Movies and Tim Benz. We'll have your sports when we come back from this commercial break.
DVE Sports.
All right, Mike Pursuta is out this week. Tim Benz filling in with your sports on DVE. Benzie, what's up?
And brought to you by Dormont Appliance. Penguins began their restart to training camp up at Cranberry on Monday. Thanks to Dan Potash for joining us last hour to recap day one's activities, which were reduced for some players. Some guys didn't get on the ice. 9 players were kept off the ice due to concerns over secondary contact with someone who may have had the coronavirus. So the organization decided, out of an abundance of caution, to not have those guys skate with the rest of the team. Patrick Hornquist, Juuso Riikola, Casey DeSmith, and a bunch of the other younger prospects were included in that pack. Coach Mike Sullivan said that these kinds of moves will have to be taken from time to time to make sure that the team can get up to Toronto intact to start the postseason for the NHL. And Chris Letang is going to be a part of that. He had a decision to make that might have been a little bit more tough than some of the other guys on the Pens, given the fact that he had a stroke back in 2014, also has a hole in his heart. But after consulting with physicians, Letang says that it wasn't much of a decision, and he was able to make it with his family to get back out on the ice and play. This is Letang yesterday with Mark Madden on 105.9 The X.
Well, so obviously we heard a lot of things, and first reaction was to actually call the doctors and make sure we see all the options and the danger and what is the best call to make, and we end up kind of believing that it wouldn't be an issue for me to get back there.
Yeah, and from everything I've been able to read to follow up on this, guys, there is no correlation really between like an immunosuppressed condition and the situation surrounding what Letang went through. But I guess this disease is so insidious and so such a wild card when it comes to a lot of different health paths. People just want to dot all the I's and cross the T's before they make a decision like this. And Letang looked into it, and apparently he's good to go. And that's huge for the Penguins. They managed to win a cup in the postseason without him before, but don't want to do it unless they have to again here. And he will be traveling with the club and will be part of that increased team speed going into the postseason after 82 games of wear and tear. Not going to have that this year to start the playoffs, and that should benefit Letang and a lot of the other superstar Penguins.
Gino and Sid, like, it's not like they've been like playing 82 games in a row and having to get in the playoffs. So you have those guys that are healthy and rested. You get a fresh Jake Gensel, so there are all kinds of positive points, and I think there's no momentum carrying over from the season. Everybody's starting fresh, so I think we have a great chance ahead of us.
One thing that Mark has talked about quite a bit with Letang and how he could really help the Penguins this year beyond just the minutes that he logs and everything else that he does at even strength is on the power play. Part of the reason why the power play is underperformed based on the talent that exists with that club is they haven't really found anybody to play that left wall spot that Phil Kessel played, and that could be something that Letang does if Justin Schultz mans the point, and then it's just a matter of plugging in Gino and Sid where they normally are in the right circle and along the goal line respectively, and then you can, whoever's feeling it more, wherever the power play works better with Jake Guentzel dodging in and out in front of the net or Patrick Hornquist camped out in front of the net. You know, you can touch and feel that throughout the course of a playoff series, but boy, it would be nice to have Letang be an X factor in that spot where Kessel used to be for sure.
Agreed.
You know, they need somebody who can hit the net. They need somebody who can distribute from there and kind of trigger things from that position. Pirates announced some preseason games against the Cleveland Indians. PNC Park on Saturday, first of three exhibition games against the Indians. That'll be followed by a trip to Progressive Field on July the 20th. Back at PNC on the 22nd. All games 7:05, AT&T Sportsnet. Derek Shelton speaking recently on a Zoom call talking about how the pitchers are a bit ahead of the hitters right now for the Bucks, but that's to be expected, and maybe that's good news.
No, it's just timing because pitchers can work on things in a bullpen setting where it's a little more intense, and especially with the amount that we can track with pitchers now by putting, you know, different data tech points down, we can tell the intensity level. With hitters, it's just getting in and watching the arm, watching the, how the leg moves, you know, in terms of the windup to make sure you get the movement of getting ready to hit. You can do velocity stuff, which is fine for the action of the barrel getting to the ball, but in terms of the actual timing, that's why hitters are always behind when certain things start.
According to what Shelton said yesterday, Joe Musgrove was very good in the simulated game start that he had, and I actually think it's kind of good news to hear reports about the pitchers being ahead of the hitters at this point, because I do think we know what's there with the hitters after last year with the Pirates. They have guys who can hit. If the pitchers are showing a little bit ahead, to me, that's a good thing, because maybe you can tap into what Trevor Williams had 2 years ago. Maybe Joe Musgrove can be more of a frontline guy. Maybe Mitch Keller is starting to find the fastball and develop a changeup, things that he didn't have last year. So I find that to be a bit of a positive. College football news, Robert Morris gets to benefit from all the rescheduling that's going on. The University of Hawaii lost four games to start the year from Pac-12 teams who are now no longer playing out of conference. So they're booking the Colonials to go all the way out to Hawaii to play in a game on the 26th. Duquesne got to do that last year. Now Robert Morris gets to fill that slot, so how about that if you're RMU? You get into a new conference and you step into something good going all the way out to play Hawaii for a game. It's a fun trip. And ESPN.com saying that no decisions have been made regarding the SEC football season. They had an in-person conference yesterday in Birmingham. But according to the commissioner, Greg Sankey, the critical decisions will be made later this month as to whether or not they're going to go the total conference game and nothing else route like the Pac-12, ACC likely, and Big Ten are doing. The Notre Dame thing continues to be a big talking point. I know Matt and I have disagreed on what should be done with Notre Dame and the ACC. Mark has said to tell Notre Dame to go kick rocks. I'm of the opinion that it actually kind of helps Notre Dame, or excuse me, helps the ACC to have Notre Dame involved, because you can go then with nine conference games, and then if you want to keep, let everybody hold on to one out-of-conference game. Like Georgia Tech can go play Georgia then, if Clemson can play Notre Dame. And that way you get 10 games, nine of them are conference. Plus, if Notre Dame is looking to pick up more games because they've lost teams, they can pick up ACC teams, and maybe they can figure out a way to tap into some of that NBC money, split the revenue, right, and you offset some of your losses that you've had during the course of the season, which I think can benefit all the ACC teams.
Yeah, no, the money is a good point, but there's no way Notre Dame is just going to be left twisting in the wind. It's too valuable of an opponent for a conference to not temporarily adopt.
Right, And they are partners in every other sport practically. They've gone out of their way to say that they will help Notre Dame, and I think it could be a mutually beneficial thing. Look, it's always fun to just have the idea in your head of being able to say to Notre Dame, well, you screwed yourself. You made your bed, now you lie in it. And that sounds like a great idea, but there's so much more practicality to allowing your teams to schedule with them to help up for the lost games potentially. So we'll see what gets done there. And lastly, you know, this is the time of the year in the NFL where it's ranking season. Everybody does their rankings going into training camp. I'll give you a couple here. Pro Football Focus, TJ Watt. They've got him amongst the top five pass rushers in the game. I think they're putting up for a poll. The other guys that they had up there, Von Miller, Miles Garrett, Chandler Jones, and Aaron Donald. Cam Hayward, rated the sixth best interior offensive lineman in the NFL. That's high praise for Cam. Sometimes he gets left off of these lists. Maybe after last year, he's starting to get a little bit more recognition. Rated sixth. Aaron Donald, rated number one. And Maurice Jones-Drew went through the top running backs of every team in the NFL. He's got James Conner 25th out of the NFL running backs. Saquon Barkley, he only had sixth. But I'll give him credit for this. He's been carrying water for Le'Veon Bell nonstop for about a year and a half now, and he's got him all the way down at 20. So at least he's got a little balance to the list there.
Tim Benz filling in.
He's going after him for being healthy. He's got to be healthy. And if he's not healthy, then how can you rate him as being anything but sort of bottom third of the league if he's not out there enough?
Yeah. That's right. That's why he's so low. It's not ability. Like, if all things being equal, sure, higher ranking deserved. But until that question mark is removed, everyone's going to speculate as to whether or not he's going to return to Pro Bowl form. When we come back, Doug Loves Movies podcast host Doug Benson is joining us with What Doug Watched This Weekend, a segment where Doug just kind of tells us what he's been watching. And he's just hilarious. And then Billy Gardell, live from Los Angeles, California, in the 9 o'clock hour. That's coming up on Deep
Morning Show.
Doug hates candy wrappers, green baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, because Doug loves movies.
Here he is. It's Doug Benson, the aforementioned host of Doug Loves Movies. And, you know, it's crazy because it seems like we would have hit a roadblock in the new movie release realm here in the middle of the pandemic. But all these movies keep coming out that have been in the can, or I don't know. But I know you watched the one that Andy Samberg and the Lonely Island guys did that was on Hulu. And that's the one that I was really excited about.
Yeah, me too.
You guys haven't seen it yet?
I have. I did see it.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it.
All right, well, so half of you know, Randy knows that this is one of those movies where the less you know going in, the better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why I've already said too much.
I've seen so the funny. Trailer. Is it ruined for me?
not. I don't think it's ruined. I never saw the trailer, so I should have actually looked at the trailer to then tell people whether they should watch it or not. But I assume the trailer does a certain amount of ruining it, because it just the premise of the movie is doled out in such a way that I think it'd be so much more interesting to not know it ahead of time.
I would agree.
But that being said, also to answer what Randy was talking about, this movie just kind of feels like it came out of nowhere, but it was a huge acquisition at Sundance this last January. This movie, to give people an idea how at least the people at Sundance that buy movies to distribute, were so excited about this movie that it was the biggest sale in the history of Sundance.
Wow.
And the highest sale that had ever happened at Sundance was $17.5 million. And this one beat the record because they agreed on $17.5 million and 69 cents.
Oh, that's on brand. That's wonderful.
I love when they can slip comedy into the deal that was made to purchase the film. So, yes, those Lonely Island guys probably all have each have their own Lonely Island that they can live on because they're doing all right, I think.
But they put out good stuff, man. Like, Popstar Never Stop Popping is one of the more, I think we've talked about it, one of the more underrated comedies, man.
It's so fun, that movie. And this one is like, could not be more different except for the presence of Andy Samberg. But in this case, he plays somebody that's, you know, he's likable in spite of how annoying he is in Popstar. But in this movie, he's, you know, annoying to some of the other characters, but not to the viewers. He's very entertaining. You know, a lot like he is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's just kind of like a, you know, a smiling voice of reason. And, but yeah, just the fact that it's him with Kristen Milioti and J.K. Simmons, like I'm already in, so I didn't watch anything. I didn't see anything about the movie other than, like, you know, the image of the laying on a raft in a pool. But that seems pretty obvious image when the movie's called Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my big recommendation this week. It's just it's really good, right?
Yeah, I liked it a whole lot. But and without giving anything away, I will ask you this. Were you impressed with all of the plot twists, or did you find them to be kind of, I don't know, unnecessary?
I really enjoyed it because, first of all, it's a pretty brisk 90 minutes. Like, it's not one of those long ass movies just because, you know, that's what people are doing now. So it's nice and tight in that sense. And then, you're just never absolutely sure where it's going. There's a few points where I feel like I kind of had an idea of what was going to happen next and something close enough happened, but takes so many surprising turns, but also just creates so many situations where, like, it just keeps getting funnier and more amusing as the different scenarios and truths come out. And it's a movie, it's the first movie I've seen in a while that I am actually looking forward to watching again, because I think stuff will happen in it that I'll go, I didn't even notice that the first time.
It's super clever, and when you have great actors, it makes all the difference in the world in a comedy like this, I think.
Yeah, and it's just amazing people. Like, June Squibb is in it, and she, like, has, like, a couple scenes, but they're so heartfelt and real, and just, like, all the actors in the movie, they just absolutely nail it, because it's, you know, got a fairly large cast for reasons I won't get into.
Right.
And then, on the other hand, I watched a movie that's on currently on Netflix called The Old Guard. And that movie is interesting because Charlize Theron and who's another actor that's, like, there's only, like, one or two other actors in it that I could even, you know, name before or after watching it.
I didn't think you said, is it Theron? Charlize Theron?
Yeah, she's in it.
No, but I'm saying, is that how you say it? I thought it was, like, Theron. Right, has everybody been saying it wrong?
I think it's one where she lets a lot of mispronunciation of it slide, so no one's ever really locked in on how to really say it. And I heard once that it's Theron. And so I'm running with it. And even if I'm wrong, because, you know, either way, it just makes me an interesting person.
Yeah, it does. She would never get it pronounced right in Pittsburgh. I can tell you that right now. She'd be Charlie Theron.
Theron.
That's just that's one of those ones where I feel like I'm right, but I could absolutely be wrong.
No, I think you are right. I'm glad to know the other pronunciation. So this movie is getting good reviews.
Yes, and it is good. I will give it that for sure. But you know, like, I read one, you know how they just, the reviews are just little snippets, and somebody, I think, said, used the expression nonstop action. And I'm here to tell you, from my perspective, there were a few stops. And they also managed to throw in a long layover. Like, to give you an example, like, did you guys see a couple summers ago her movie Atomic Blonde?
I did not.
I didn't.
Mm-mm. Oh, my God. So that movie, if you want something really cool to watch, you should go ahead and check it out, because it's basically from the same people who did John Wick. So she's like a female John Wick in this movie, and just, you know, just beating up bad guys left and right in extremely violent hand-to-hand combat. And and she's great in it, and it's a really, really entertaining movie. But it's like, for every talking scene, there's a really good action scene. Like, they alternate throughout the film. Mm-hmm. And and with the old guard, I was kind of like, they're being a little I just wanted a little bit more action, which is crazy to say when you watch the whole thing and see how much action is in it overall. I still thought the action parts were really cool. And then when they'd stop and talk about, it's basically, you're supposed to feel sad for these people who are immortal. Like, you know, her character has lived for thousands of years. And so you're supposed to, it's a lot about them sitting around feeling bad that they can never die, that they have to just continue living. And it's really hard to relate to right now.
Charlize is a badass. I wouldn't have, like, thought a long time ago, whenever I first started seeing her in films, that she would be a great action star. But when I saw her in Mad Max Fury Road, I was like, she kicks ass. And everything she's been in since then has kind of been that turn.
Yeah, and she's like that character in this movie, but with two arms. So just imagine what she could do.
So let me ask you this: not a movie, but I know you'll watch a little TV too. Have you watched any of the Michelle McNamara documentary on HBO, "I'll Be Gone in the Dark"?
I have not, because I don't think I can handle it. I don't think it's stuff I want to know in depth. I know, you know, I certainly, over the years, from being friends with both her and Patton, I'm familiar with the story and this particular serial killer, but I've never watched any true crime stuff, really. It's not my you know, my thing, really.
Yeah,
so
not for me either, but I stumbled on it because I'm just not a true crime guy, although I love Karen Kilgariff's podcast anytime I have listened to it. And I think that that's super funny and great. And I get why people are so addicted to true crime. But in watching this, I liked how much it was about her obsession as well with doing it and the toll it took on her life to, like, basically take it upon herself to find this guy, because these law enforcement agencies wouldn't work together. So she's the one who connects all the dots, and it's crazy. And your friend Patton comes off as the world's nicest guy and possibly the best husband any woman could ever ask for. He sets up the bar so high. There are wives all over the country right now who are just, you know, giving their husbands all kinds of crap because of how much of an angel Patton is throughout the entire ordeal.
Yeah, he's been really great, and he was super supportive of her at every step of the way. You know, he's been, you know, he promoted her book after she was gone, and he's promoted this show. And I gotta watch it, you know. But I also haven't been watching Perry Mason on HBO, because I hear that in both the first and second episode, there is stuff you see that you can't unsee and might spend the rest of your life trying.
It's true.
You saw it.
I saw the first episode, and there are two scenes that are just like, one in particular where you're like, oh, wow, HBO, my God. All right.
Yeah. So I'm scared of some of these TV shows at this point.
Oh, I'll tell you this much. I watched the last episode on Sunday night of I'll Be Gone in the Dark, and I definitely was like, you know what? I got to get some more locks. I need some more locks is what I
need.
The
book was harrowing, and I think Patton did like the epilogue or something like that for the book.
You read it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I read it right when it came out just because I actually love true crime. I love that kind of stuff. I mean, Making a Murderer, the one about the Pizzagate killer, all that stuff is, I don't know, it interests me just because it's like the furthest thing from what you would think for me, but I get into it and I get obsessed with it.
Bill, she's fascinating. I mean, and I love the fact that she didn't really care too much about Patton's celebrity through all of it or what he did for a living. Like that part of it is particularly endearing. She, you know, where she's just kind of like, yeah, that's cool. You got your thing. This is my thing. And they keep showing clips of Patton doing stand up, saying how smart his wife is and how she doesn't care about what he does because she's on a different plane and stuff. It's so well done. You get a complete picture of these people. And it's in a way voyeuristic because you're kind of like, you know, looking in on her journey through the documentary. I don't know how much of the book is like that, but boy, it is compelling television.
Yeah, I have to watch it. I'll hunker down and look at it. You know, it's just really, I know it's not going to be obviously it's not going to be fun.
Watch it in the daytime.
Yeah.
Watch it in the daytime as you're having more locks and stuff.
Doug Benson, Doug Loves Movies. Who's on the podcast this week?
This week we got, there's this nightly trivia game out in New York. If you download an app called HQ Trivia, and I love it. I play it every night. It's on every night at 6 o'clock Eastern. It takes about 15, 20 minutes of just straight hosted trivia questions. And you can even win a little bit of money. And, so two of the hosts that are regularly featured on that, Matt Richards and Anna Roisman, were both very funny, are also both guests on the current episode of Doug Loves Movies.
Awesome. Doug Benson from Doug Loves Movies. Thanks as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. See you later.
Bye, Doug.
Doug hates candy wrappers, greedy baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that
Kaz
Aldrin.
Kaz Aldrin. Kazi Zeller.
Kaz Lightyear.
Wait, the Hamloaf never had.
You never had Hamloaf?
I will make
you some Hamloaf.
What about the onion loaves that they used to sell at Damon?
Onion loaf.
That's Fred.
Can we get the onion loaf?
Look at this picture of all of them.
I'll have some of that. poppers.
Looks like bad skin.
Olive loaf looks like...
Olive loaf. Oh, that just looks
like
something.
You got to go to the dermatologist.
Yeah, that looks like something. They go, well, we took it off, but you're going to have to come back in 5 weeks. Use this cream until we see you again.
Yeah. It looks like the sidewalk on Carson Street after a Saturday night.
Randy Bellman and the DVE Morning Show.
Billy Gardell joining us live from Los Angeles right now. What's going on, Kazi?
Oh, man. It's good to talk to you guys. Hi. Kaz.
How you been doing, Kaz?
I'm good. Every time I see someone that don't have a mask on their face at this point, I just go, gosh.
Cover up. Gosh.
Sweet. Gosh.
You know, I really think that, like, has anybody encountered someone not wearing a mask and said, hey, would you please wear a mask? And it didn't turn into a viral video? Or are there instances where people just go, yeah, sorry, I forgot mine. All right. And they're just kind of like, hey, I just don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to be vocal about it. It seems like part of not wanting to get into an argument.
Why not just come out and say I'm incapable of thinking of other people? I mean, why not just just come out and say it?
Put that on a shirt.
Incapable of thinking of others, yeah. And then I'll go, gosh.
Are you
make up some
are you
shirts
really
gosh.
really
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 I don't know.
Really? Like, really?
I'm telling you, man. I am Punxsutawney Phil right now, man. I go outside. I don't see any masks. I go back in for 6 weeks.
A friend of mine said she was in a convenience store and somebody walked in without a mask. And they said to the person, like, hey, you have to wear a mask to be in here. And she said the person just threw an absolute tantrum, threw down a rack of Doritos and started screaming about their rights and left. And then everybody who was left in the store, and as it happened real quick, and they're all kind of looking at each other just like, what the? Now what's that person going to do? They still need whatever they came in for. They're just going to keep going to stores and throwing tantrums until somebody doesn't bust their chops.
You know what it is? I think the internet broke some people's brains. Like, it broke them.
Yeah.
It just broke their brains. They can't differentiate right from wrong anymore. It broke their brain.
Just well, Bill, science requires nuance, and we are not a people who are very willing to understand or listen to nuance. Science changes, and then that's the truth. Know,
if I could take the helm of Mr. Rogers' show for one day, I would just roll with, let's all look up the word reasoning. Can you say reasoning? Reasoning is when you look at a situation and you pick the best possible situation for everybody. That's what you do. It's not hard.
If Mr. Rogers was trying to talk to people, they'd be like, he's married to Ghislaine Maxwell's sister. He's deep state. Mr. Rogers is deep state.
You know what, Matt? Even Mr. Rogers, like, in by day 35 of this, would come in and put his sweater and shoes on and then put his hands on his knees and go, guys.
Good morning, cuzzies. Val's got your news right now. What's going on, Valerie?
Here is the Channel 11 Severe Weather Center.
On Severe Weather Center 11.
It is 66 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Window Nation. The new tell-all book by President Trump's niece is here. Members of the Trump family tried to stop today's release, claiming Mary Trump was bound by a confidentiality agreement. Those efforts ended yesterday when a judge lifted a gag order. In the book titled Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man, Trump portrays the president as a habitual liar and cheat, immensely damaged by his upbringing. Aren't we all?
In the words of my friend Gene Collier, you're not saying.
Wait a minute. You don't really mean.
Really, Mary Trump? Really?
Really? Oh,
honest to God, what string are you hanging on to at this point?
The thinnest one?
Just seriously.
Butler County is getting a share of the CARES Act to help the impact of COVID-19 on the homeless. DCED is giving $1.9 million of the $19 million in CARES Act funds it received to Butler County. Those funds are to be used to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus among individuals and families who are either currently homeless who are receiving housing assistance. Kennywood is now open to the general public. The park opened its gates to everyone yesterday after a soft opening to season pass holders over the weekend. Park officials say they are temperature checking people as they enter the park and are requiring masks for park goers and staff. There are also so-called mask break zones in the park where people can safely remove their mask while maintaining social distance.
I mean, I'd say definitely stay out of the Old Mill and Noah's Ark. You know what I mean? Any of the indoor rides, maybe not this year.
I'd say that pre-COVID. You're going to
COVID
Noah's Ark.
Whatever
you're
was taking, in Noah's Ark.
Yeah, you're going to Noah's Ark. You're taking your chances. We've been down that road.
Did you guys see the video from the Japanese amusement park where they told people they said, please don't scream on the rides so we can mitigate the spread of COVID. Just scream inside your heart, which everyone, you know, joked like that's what we've been doing for months. And then the park put out a video of two of their executives riding a roller coaster and demonstrating how you can ride it and not scream. And it's just a video of these two Japanese guys all by themselves on a roller coaster, both wearing masks and not making any emotional, like, just nothing, just zooming up and down hills. And for some reason, it is both soothing and hilarious. Like, I was laughing so hard the first time I watched it, but then I watched it again and it just made me feel like calm.
What do they call that roll? What's that roller coaster called? The aneurysm?
the lobotomy.
You just want to go ride the blood clot.
Speaking of amusement parks, the Walt Disney Company rolling back on the reopening of one of their theme parks. The company announced yesterday Hong Kong Disneyland will close again due to a spike in cases in China. The park will temporarily close Wednesday, but did not say when it would reopen. Disney has faced heavy criticism for opening its parks, especially in the U.S., where the virus remains rampant. And I just read this morning, Miami is now the epicenter of the pandemic.
You know, Disney, I told you before, Mickey Mouse is a gangster. I told you. After this is all over, they will open a new part of the park called Survivor Land. I'm telling you. He don't care.
Team it up. Get it going. We got to make money. Let's go. Huh? Don't look me in the eye. What'd I tell you about that? Move your ass. Get out there. Breathe it. Make me my money. It's all that you... I'm not wearing a mask, am I? Stand back. Don't breathe near me.
I'll tell you, of all the Disney characters, the one you don't want to stand close to is Donald Duck. Imagine the aerosol coming out of him, the way he talks.
Oh, my God. Spitting everywhere.
I read they're losing $1 billion a month. $1 billion a month they're losing right now.
You're going to say a day.
They have it to lose. Disney has it to lose. They're going to be fine.
They got some money in the bank.
Somebody's ordering Space Dogs as we talk right now on iTunes. They're fine. They bring those old movies out of the vault like they're crack. They're fine.
Yeah,
they're fine.
Like it's the McRib. Just fine. Yeah, we're gonna re-release Ariel for a month.
That's it. That's exactly right, Billy. It's like the McRib or the McShamrock Shake. You only see it a couple times a year, and then it goes away. That's it.
Well, Billy, where you live in Los Angeles County, more businesses and public spaces are closing back up after a surge in cases. On Monday, Governor Gavin Newsom ordered all indoor activity to stop at restaurants, gyms, hair and nail salons, barber shops, tattoo shops, indoor malls, non-essential offices, and places of worship. The order applies to counties on the state watch list because of dangerous case hospitalization and death numbers. L.A. is on that, as are most of Southern California's counties.
Yep, everything's spiking out here because people just had to go out. They just had to. They had to go out. Okay.
And, Billy, I hate to be the bearer of more bad news, but a new study says the Los Angeles area has a higher chance of getting hit by a devastating earthquake within the next year. The study says L.A.'s chances of getting hit. LA's chances of getting hit with a 7.5 magnitude earthquake or higher are up by more than 2%. Earthquake researchers are blaming the recent major quakes in Ridgecrest, saying they may have shaken up the Garlock Fault, which could trigger the San Andreas Fault. The U.S. Geological Survey says there is a relationship between the two, but they're not backing the findings of this particular study just yet.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
I mean,
have you been there? Have you felt an earthquake?
Yeah. I've had a couple. I've been through a couple. We had, I think the biggest one was, I want to say around like 98 or 99 when I was here, 97, somewhere in there. That was the biggest one. We've felt many earthquakes, but that one really, like, we were out in the street in our t-shirts and boxer shorts that day. Like, that one freaked us out. Yeah, so I don't know. Gosh, there's murder hornets. There's locusts. There's crows. That doesn't even affect people. It was a plague. I don't know. It's fantastic.
I don't think a Sharknado is out of the question, Bill, at this point.
At this point, I really don't, Bill. If there was a great white out in front of my mailbox this morning, I would just go, well, look at that. Like, I'm getting to the point where I just, I've resolved myself to, you know, we're in a 2-minute warning. Okay.
Yep.
You sound hopeful, Bill. You sound hopeful.
You just walk out in the morning and there's like a llama, a shark, and like a treasure chest out in front of your house. You're like, all right. So what we're doing today? Okay, fantastic.
Really, llama?
So
really?
Really? Really?
Can't put a mask on. And they spit, so don't get close to them.
Just breathing and drooling.
So if you have kids right now, they're probably asking a lot of questions and you may not have the answers to all of the questions. A recent study looked at the most common tough to answer questions that little kids ask their parents. The top 10. Number one, where do babies come from?
Oh, I thought it was going to be, why are you drinking at lunch?
That's the second question.
Bill, Crawford, you've told the story on the air about Kennedy, haven't you? I'm pretty sure you told it on air.
She is so sweet and innocent. And now she's a little bit older and has had the talk, not from me, thank God. But before she said, I think I know how babies are born or where they come from. And I was like, uh-oh. And she said, yeah, so God looks down and sees a mommy eating very healthy, and he rewards her with a baby in her belly, which I was like, oh, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard. And also, what role am I playing in this whole scenario? Am I just mommy's nutritionist, or what? Who am I?
I like that when she asked about that, Bill. You guys basically, you and C-Bac reversed roles on that one.
Bill, you can go, now eat your chicken nuggets.
Number two on the list, what's the deal with Santa Claus? Also on the list, do things like ghosts, mermaids, or unicorns exist?
Let me go back a second, that's common.
Well, Bill, you grunted about Santa. Did Will have discovery that was tough to deal with?
I deal with Santa Claus the way most Republicans deal with this disease. Full denial, and I just stick to the story.
Santa Claus is very real.
He's coming, brother. He's coming this month if you're behaving.
Is the tooth fairy real? But more importantly, what does she do with all those teeth? Ooh, that's an aspect I never thought about. What does she do with all those teeth? Right.
She grinds them into piano keys.
Boy, that's good, actually. They're used to make piano keys.
Scrooge McDuck.
Why don't you want to learn music?
Swimming in every night.
Why do adults have to go to work?
Yeah, we've all been asking that one now. Go back to bed.
Where do people go when they die? Probably a very common question. Why is the sky blue? Where do clouds come from? Are there still dinosaurs around?
You know, those questions, why is the sky blue and why are there clouds and how does it rain? Like, I'll say something like my father would say, you know, I'm like, I don't know. You know, that's just how that is. Patty will break it down. Well, there's a reflection off the ocean from the sun's rays, and that's the actual reason you see blue in the sky. It's actually white, but because of the reflection of the water, you see that. And because of cloud cover, it changes, and that's how you get great. Like, she'll go into the whole. Patty's like being married to Data from Star Trek. She just knows. She loves to learn. She just knows stuff. The other day, I walked through the house, and she was watching one of those science shows on string theory. I hurt my head going to the fridge just hearing it.
Just hearing it.
Smart girl, man.
Smart. Bill, was it Ray Romano that had the bit about his son asking him, "Dad, why does the moon follow us while we're driving?"
I'm pretty sure it was Ray Romano.
And he's like, he just tried to describe it. And he's like, it's
up there in the sky. And I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Like, just the amount of questions kid can ask you where you have no idea, because stuff you would have known him, Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader? Whatever that show is, fifth grader. Back then, you remember all this stuff, but now being able to explain it, not so easy. You understand that what's happening is an optical illusion of sorts, but it's not following you so much.
I say stuff, and then Will goes to Patty for a fact check. That's how it works in our house.
I got to cross references.
Listen, you sit by that window after you get out of the shower, you're going to get pneumonia. And then Patty's just shaking her head. No. I just hear all this stuff my dad said to me. You know what I mean? You need to put some socks on. The internet, you're going to catch a cold. No, I don't trust the internet.
Finally, look it up. Be like, look, I don't know. Look it up.
Google it.
Google it right now.
I go with whatever my dad told me.
The final tough question kids ask parents and is, if you swallow a seed, will it grow inside you?
Yes. Just say that till they're like 22. Seed, and they'll figure it out. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what my dad would have said too. You swallow that orange seed and you're going to have branches. All right. So you do what you want.
What is the other one? If you swallow gum, it never digests, right?
Did they debunk that? I hope that's because if that's not true, I think I have a tire inside me.
Oh my God! Yeah, my stomach lining looks like that. That roof in the line of the Steel Phantom.
I got enough big league chew in me. That's like that water seal stuff that guy yells about. That's Flex Seal. I got nothing but big league chew Flex Seal all through my intestines. There's no leaks, none.
Forecast today, going to be pretty nice summer day. Sunshine, temperatures in the mid-80s. It's 66 at DVE.
Sports update, Ben's filling in for Pursuta. That's next. More with Billy Gardell, live from Los Angeles here on the DVE.
Get a quote now.
DVE Sports.
All right, Pursuta off this week. Tim Benz filling in with your sports. Billy Gardell live in Los Angeles, California as well. Gosh.
All right, Billy, good to talk to you again, and we are brought to you by SportClips. Good to have you on, and good to have you on a day where hockey's getting going again. As Monday, up in Cranberry, Penguins finally got back on the ice after the coronavirus lockdown. And, they did so under ominous circumstances, unfortunately. 9 players were kept off the ice due to concerns over secondary contact with someone who may have had the disease. Players were Patrick Hornquist, Juuso Riikola, Casey DeSmith, and 6 other young reserves. According to Mike Sullivan, they made this move out of an abundance of caution so as to make sure the team didn't get started with an early spread of COVID-19. Now, he says the team is in good physical condition, largely, except for, one obvious issue that they need to get in shape for.
So I think in my first impression of them is that we've got a pretty fit group. I do think there are aspects of the fitness that we have to address in order to get our guys game ready, and we're trying to do that. And most specifically, I think it's the belligerence, the combative drills, the tight area space, pushing and shoving and leaning on guys, and that's a different type of conditioning, and that's really the only aspect of their conditioning that they haven't been able to address.
Yes, belligerence conditioning seems to be something that you can't work on your own and from 6 feet apart. I think you need less social distancing for belligerence conditioning. Right. Which is a phrase
Tim, you're born with it, but it has to be cultivated on the internet.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yes. Now, if there's somebody who is a chief belligerence conditioner, I would think that would be Patrick Hornquist. So they need him back to spark that in everybody else.
Sure.
As soon as possible.
Team President David Morehouse on with Mark Madden yesterday on the X, talking about how this extended season will bleed into next year.
I don't think they're looking to do it without fans in the stands. I mean, I know it's one of the scenarios. I do think we could get through an 82-game schedule. It would go into, it would bleed into the summer. And then the following year, I think we'd probably start in October like we should anyway. The math works if for a January 1st start, moving through June and into the beginning of July or mid-July. And I think that's probably our best-case scenario.
Tim, whatever they decide, I think if they are going to let any fans into the game, Morehouse needs to be running security for the masks and just to ensure that everybody's paying attention, because that guy will kick your ass if you don't obey the policy.
Did you hear him on with Madden yesterday? He was talking about how, because Madden gave him the question about how he pulled Ian Smith into PPG Paints Arena during the riots that took place uptown. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was called a hero a number of times over, and he said he wasn't really comfortable with that. But a couple of days thereafter, he was on a conference call with Bettman, and he kept using the phrase, Mr. Commissioner. And his daughter came walking in the room. She goes, Dad, are you Batman? Are you talking to Commissioner Gordon? So I guess he's getting more and more used to the tag. But, yeah, that was a great story from David. It's good to hear him talk about it with Mark. Awesome. One thing I'm wondering about the PPG Paints Arena, when they bring people back in, when they're talking about retrofitting it, some guy who's really going to have to make some concessions here is Iceberg. I mean, is he going to really slide down all the handrails? Is he going to bring sanitary wipes with him? How is he going to handle that? You know, the blimp, is it just going to drop hand wipes down instead of those little free giveaways that they have in between periods? There are some things we have to think about for the future here in January and December.
Good point.
As for the Pirates, they're getting ready for their preseason games against Cleveland. Opener will be Saturday at PNC Park, then Progressive Field in Cleveland. And PNC Park again for the third game. You'll be able to watch them. AT&T Sportsnet is going to carry them. One thing we're talking about more this year in the compact season, stealing more bases. Brian Reynolds, who had a great rookie season for the Pirates last year, started lobbying for that for himself a season ago.
I'm going to be looking for those opportunities when I'm out there and, you know, coming up now that we're actually playing games. So I'll be looking for it when I'm on base, but that's something I want to incorporate more.
And lastly, two notes from football. Oh, first of all, guys.
How about that? There's some Bucko baseball. You know what? We should try to steal the base.
All right. Yeah, maybe they could start off by trying to steal first. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Step into the pitch. Take one on the shoulder. Just get on base. We need some ducks on the pond.
Lean into it, Ogilvy.
I wanted to get Billy's thoughts on the Redskins name change. Bill, if you weren't listening early on, it was 6 o'clock hour we're doing this, so you're still sound asleep out there, but the odds are out for replacing the Redskins name. The Red Tails, 3-1, that's the favorite. Generals or Warriors at 4-1, then the Presidents and the Red Wolves at 5-6-1. Now, I advanced the idea of the Hogs. That's the one that I've been talking about nonstop since this conversation came to light again. I want them to connect back to their glory days of the 80s, which, by the way, very heavily influenced by some Pitt products. Both Mark May and Russ Grimm were part of the Hogs, the 1980s offensive line that led the Redskins to Super Bowl glory on a couple of occasions. I think marketing possibilities are endless. How about you?
I would go with Code Talkers. The Native Code Americans talkers. Helped. Well, they helped us during the wars because Native American Code Talkers would carry messages for us that couldn't be decrypted by the other side. Code Talkers.
We also talked.
It's
about
noble
the fun
and
bunch.
It sounds cool. Yeah, the fun.
Wind
bunch.
Talker was the movie, right?
Correct. Correct.
And the
even
Smurfs.
Wind Talker sounds cool. No, we're
wind
not
talker
doing
sounds
that.
Kinda
no.
Cool.
I like that. Wind Talker's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I like that.
It's and noble and it's kind of cool. The Smurfs. What's the matter with you?
Well, remember that the Smurfs, they had the short wide receiver. Like, Tim, I'm not going to be partial to a team with Smurfs.
No.
Come on.
No, Tim. No.
Charlie Brown, Virgil Say, Alvin Garrett, they're all 5'10 and under. Like, I'm not going to root for that team, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's it never would be fun,
though, to hear
again.
The post-game. If they were called the Smurfs, though, it would be awesome to hear, like, well, that's just Smurf football, and that's how we Smurf it. And, you know, when it was fourth and Smurf, a lot of people thought it was going to be a quarterback Smurf. But, I ran a
– That was a Smurfy kickoff.
He had an RSO as a run Smurf there. Option. Yeah.
All the cheerleaders are Smurfettes.
I don't think you know who the Smurf you're dealing with.
All right. One other one. Patrick Mahomes in GQ. Big article with him after winning the Super Bowl. They were talking about the Super Bowl victory day in Kansas City. It turns out that Post Malone had a concert that night in KC after the Super Bowl parade to celebrate the championship for the Chiefs, the first one that they had since Super Bowl III. He and Travis Kelce went backstage with Post Malone and played 14 consecutive games of beer pong and beat Post Malone every time. Wow. And on the 14th game, they made a bet that you would get Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes tattooed on your body if we beat you in a 15th consecutive game, which they did, and which he did before he took the stage. Because I know you might be shocked to hear this, given how Post Malone looks. He's got a tattoo artist that travels with him. So he got their autographs tattooed on himself before he took the stage.
It's not a big deal.
That's awesome.
He has "I'm tired" tattooed under each eye.
Okay, here's the deal. Here's the deal with bets. For you young people, here's the deal with bets. Think about whether or not you can pay up before you say yes.
Right.
It's one to grow.
Well, he can, because, like, are you going to notice it anywhere on his body? Like, how can you tell one tattoo from the other at this point?
No, oh dude, God, at this point, like you could
bathroom wall at Jack's.
you could open an atlas, and it's about the same thing. It just looks like roadmaps. I don't know what's happening. I can't focus in. It's like one of those pictures. If you stare long enough, you'll see a boat. It's like that.
Tim Benz with your sports this morning on DVE. More with Billy Gardell.
Good to see you, Tim.
Yep, good talking
to
you, Billy.
DVE morning. DVE morning show.
Is
Billy
that,
Gardell.
That's good. What is that?
James Brown.
Nice.
Yeah, a little James Brown for you this morning. Billy hanging out with us live from Los Angeles, California, right now. They closed the schools out there this year. You get a homeschool Wilster.
They've been doing the Zoom thing. They did the Zoom thing towards the end of the year, and it looks like they're not going to be opening right now in September, and I'm completely behind that. I hate it for Will, but, you know, safety first, man.
Yeah. He's going to be a senior, right?
Yeah, which really breaks my heart. But, you know, people are in work situations, and we'll get through it. We'll get through it.
He's a senior? Just keep... What?
Senior, buddy. Senior, I know.
What?
He rediscovered his bike this week, though, man. I think he just had enough for the parental units. He got on that bike. He's taking like 4 bike rides. I think he needs a break. And I don't blame the boy. I don't blame the boy.
Oh, I would be going crazy. Yeah. I just imagine myself as a senior in high school being trapped with my parents and not being allowed to really go hang out with my friends. No way.
It's for kids these days, it is the worst Twilight Zone episode ever. Hi,
Bill.
You want to play another board game?
Bill, they don't have the alley. You got to have the alley. I mean, there's not a lot of social distancing going on back there.
No, I got an alley off the side of my house. That's good. But the bike is freedom for him, man. He's gone. He's gone on a bike. So I'm happy for him. You know, it's a little bit of freedom, a little bit of, you know, he just comes whipping around the neighborhood and a couple blocks over, you know, he's doing good with it. You know, he has days like everybody else, you know, We just got to go one more day, I tell them. Just one more day. Just one more day. Just got to win the war for 24 hours. That's it. We can do that. Mm-hmm. We're going to come out the other side.
I've had a couple days during all this where I was like, well, there's a day. Nothing really happened today. Just did a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly right.
That's most days, dude. I mean, if especially if you have younger kids, like for me, I'm done by 2 o'clock and I'm sitting on the ball like Cower with a lead. I'm just draining the clock. Just
running the clock, Philly. That's it. Run the clock. That's all there is.
That's so funny.
I'll tell you, I got into the PlayStation a little bit about a week ago, and that helped kill some time. That was nice. It's not productive at all, but at least it was fun.
No.
I was playing that. Will got me the Jedi game, the Fallen Order Jedi game, and I don't.
Oh yeah.
Like there's like 9 levels on every PlayStation game. You know, there's easy, there's, you know, medium, there's beginner, and then there's throw your controller through the TV. So I don't. I always just I play it on the easiest level because if I can't be Harrison Ford in the real world, I'm still gonna be him in the video game world. But the other day I'm moving my Jedi guy through the planet and I found myself doing a Yinzer accent for my Jedi. So I was wandering him through the forest. God damn, mess with me. I'll force push you right through that tree. Don't make me pull out my saber. I'll dice you. I'll chip you like ham.
Harrison Ford, by the way. Harrison Ford turned 78 years old yesterday.
Wow.
And yeah.
Bill was Harrison Ave Ford.
I was Harrison Avenue. He's Harrison Ford. I'm Harrison Avenue. This is my Nova. It made the East Liberty run in 4.5 minutes.
What do you think is the best Harrison Ford movie?
Oh man,
Presumed Innocent. Tough.
Real? Oh, see, now that went deep. That's serious acting. Presumed Innocent is fantastic. I gotta go though, man. I'm sorry. I gotta go the easy one. I gotta go Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was the most fantastic, epic fantasy movie. The throwback to the matinees. I mean, it was just that was fantastic for me. Raiders.
What's he been bad in?
Nothing.
He's been in bad movies.
That's like asking
Sabrina remake
has what has Colin Farrell been good in?
Come on,
like you don't like Colin Farrell. I just don't think he's ever had the right role. That's it. Okay, now and what else?
He was good in the Jeff Bridges movie where he's the country star, but Bad Blake.
Yeah,
what the hell is it?
He had to hold it together for a minute and a half. Okay.
Wild Heart, or what's that one called?
Is it Wild Heart or Wild at Heart? I can't remember. Crazy Heart.
Crazy Heart.
Crazy Heart. Was.
Crazy Heart, 2009. That was a great movie. Colin Farrell is great in Bruges. He is very good in Crazy Heart. And I would Seven Psychopaths. Seven Psychopaths, very funny, very good movie. If one of those Martin McDonagh movies, like the one about the one the Oscar a couple of years ago. I can't remember the name of it now. The one with Frances McDormand. Mm. You know what I'm talking about? Three Billboards.
I did.
And he did outside Bruges.
He was great in Three Billboards. I got to give him credit for that. He was great in Three Billboards.
So there's a lot.
My point was Harrison Ford hasn't missed. He doesn't miss.
Did you ever see The Lobster?
No.
Another good Colin Farrell movie. Okay, I'm done praising Colin Farrell.
I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm going to look it up.
It was directed by that guy, that Yorgos Lanthimos, that won the Oscar for
The Favorite last year, and all of his movies are like totally bizarre.
Okay,
remember that dude?
I'm watching kind of a bizarre one right now on Amazon that's pretty interesting, called The Loop. The problem is there's only 8 episodes, and now I'm jammed up. There's going to be nothing. There's nothing. I don't know what's going to happen.
Billy, have you watched Yellowstone?
Yes. Finally got into that. It's fantastic. Fantastic show. Yep.
Really?
The one that I'll tell you, the one that I wolfed through, man, that I just, we blew through it in a month, and there's 6 seasons of it, is Bosch. And I was nervous because I read all the books, and I was like, oh, please don't screw this up. Because like the minute, you know, Tom Cruise became Jack Reacher, that was over for me. I could no longer read those books. Jack Reacher's like 6'3". And then Tom Cruise is like, hey, all right. Yeah, all right.
Standing on the box.
Every Tom Cruise movie is, he's doing great. Now, here's every Tom Cruise movie. He's doing great. Then something bad happens. And he has one shot of whiskey and takes a walk in the rain, and then it works out. So I was real worried that they were going to mess up Bosch. But I got to tell you, man, Titus Wellington, and you probably remember him from Deadwood. Boy, he kills it. It's just a great series. If you're looking for one, that's a great one.
And the shot from his house at night is, I just love that shot.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I want to go back to Harrison Ford, which is why we started on this.
Okay,
and
sorry.
We'll end with this.
Sorry.
This is the run of movies Harrison Ford had after Star Wars. So he did Star Wars 1977. Then he did Force 10 from Navarone. Apocalypse Now. Don't forget, he was in American Graffiti before that. All right. He did Apocalypse Now, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Blade Runner, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Classic. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Witness, Classic. The Mosquito Coast, Frantic, which is an awesome movie. Frantic is
great,
incredibly
movie.
Good.
Great movie.
Yes. Working Girl, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Presumed Innocent, Regarding Henry, Patriot Games, The Fugitive, Clear and Present Danger,
Damn.
Sabrina, The Devil's Own, Air Force One. That takes you to 1997. So that was his 20-year run. How many people had a better box office than that in those 20 years?
I can't think of one, man. That's a
How
movie
are you
star.
Han Solo?
That's a movie star.
And Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Come on.
You're done right there. That's it. I don't know how you. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's,
and the fact that he never.
Sly
here's
Stone.
The real testament. Yeah, go ahead. Yes,
yeah. I was going to say, but that's the fact Rocky, that he never. Rambo.
The fact that he never, though. Like, he could still go turn and do dramatic movies without you going, you never went, oh, that's Han Solo. You go, oh, that's Harrison Ford. I don't know how he did that. That's pretty amazing.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Cause.
Billy Gunn.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. By the way, he did The Call of the Wild last year, which was not a great movie. He's done The Secret Life of Pets. You know, he's done a couple.
Yeah, but you do that so you get insurance. Two. That's just about keeping your insurance up. That's all that is.
He was good.
I did
in
a movie with his
Branch
dog.
Rickey.
Too. You have to sometimes.
Whatever happened to that movie?
Nothing. It opened and closed on the same flight.
Wait. Which movie?
It was a movie I did called Dancer and the Dame. It's me talking to
a German shepherd, Billy.
Solving a crime. It's terrible.
No, it's not.
It's good for kids. Good kids movie. That's all. You can watch out with your kids. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that ever making it out.
No, I don't think it ever did. Went right to streaming. I'm surprised it's stuck to the tape.
Lou from Mike and Molly is in it, isn't he?
Yeah, Lou's in there, and then my other friend Michael Bottoluco and my buddy John Mariano. I figured we're doing a low-budget film no one's going to see. I'm putting 3 of my friends in it.
Michael Bottoluco, Babyface Nelson in
correct
the Coen Brothers movie.
He was Berluti in the practice for a long time, too. Really wonderful guy. Good actor, too.
Oh, Brother Where Art Thou is the movie I was trying to think of. Yes. That's Billy Gardell hanging out with us. Always good to talk with you there. Love you, cousin.
I love you. Thanks, I love you very much. Please, please, please take care of each other out there today, all right?
Tomorrow on the show, more stuff. Michelle's got the electric lunch coming up next on DVE.
I'm finished.
You stay classy, Pittsburgh.
Don't touch your face.
I got him done, Pittsburgh, all day, baby.
For now, you guys call me Ronald.
Would you not eat my pants?
Ronald.
Ah! Ah! You always say ah at the end of the ride.